Can you turn the township colors on? Let's just listen.
No luck. They're on the phone with Nancy. What do you think?
I mean, we can go ahead and start it, and I can always upload the whole audio.
Okay.
Can you turn on the stream in mid?
You can turn it on midstream.
They're working on it, it'll turn on.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead then. Call to order the work session of Johnson County Board of Supervisors. It's Tuesday, September 5th. A couple of housekeeping things. We are not live streaming. We are having some difficulty with our outside provider. Changed their software, did something, and so it's been about 7 days of irritation. And so we are recording, and that recording will be uploaded, and as soon as we can go to live stream, we will go to live stream. Kurt had a big wedding at his house this weekend, and he got injured in that, so I've been told that if he gets blurry-eyed, there's a reason for that, and so
the reason's called hydrocodone.
We will go as long as Kurt is able to go and make progress as long as we can, but the minute Kurt's done, we're all done today, and we'll pick it back up on Friday.
But weddings in my family are a full contact sport.
So this wasn't groom's family versus the family? That wasn't anything like that, was it?
Both Kurt his wife ended up in the hospital or at doctor's because of this wedding. Yeah. So
this is why you hired out.
My son threw his back out as well. So,
Nothing
happened to the bride, though. She's fine.
Do not have a wedding at your house, I think is the message, without having a physician on call. Another housekeeping thing is that none of the materials here has the board ever talked about. Staff put these together for a discussion point to begin the discussion. No one on the board has, until the last, like last week, a couple of people went in and got a copy of the map so they'd have time to look at it over the weekend. Nobody's talked about this. Nobody's talked about this comprehensive plan guidelines document. And so in case anyone thought that this was what was going to go forward and what was going to be proposed, it's not. It's just a place to start talking. A couple other housekeeping things. I've received some communication from people who are assuming that we have gotten rid of open houses and public hearings, and that is not the case at all. The event the board is going to have on October 9th at 6 o'clock, 6 to 8, in HHS is in addition to everything else. We've been hearing that people wanted to talk to us and wanted to give us information, wanted to give us feedback in the middle of the process. So we scheduled a brand new meeting that wasn't on our original agenda to do so. That's October 9th, and we are literally there to listen. We will not have a plan. We will not be voting on a plan. A public hearing on the plan. It's not an open house on the plan. It's literally to give everyone an opportunity to share with us their thoughts in kind of midstream here. And so whatever has been spreading around is just simply not the case. All of the other open houses, all of the other public hearings, they will go on as talked about in the beginning of this plan. All this does is add more opportunity for the public to weigh in before we even get a draft. And it was just something that the board, in a work session with Josh, were talking about as something we thought we should do, because people wanted to schedule individual meetings with all of us, And it is way better to do that in a public meeting where everyone can hear everything and it's recorded for prosperity. And so that's why we're doing the October 9th. It'll be in HHS, and there will be some rules because we want to hear from a lot of voices. I think the working plan was put out as 4 minutes per person, and until everyone has spoken that wanted to speak before anyone gets a second round. And so we hope to hear from a lot of voices on October 9th. The website, is that up yet, Josh, with that date on it?
So, yes, you can go to the October 9th listening post that the board is hosting. That should be on the county webpage, the front, very first page. And also, you can find any updates on jocoplan.com. That's the most comprehensive place to find anything comprehensive plan related. And I can follow up on another few dates if you so choose.
And just one more thing about the 9th is the auditor's Facebook page, there's been an event created for this listening post. We don't do that often, but we felt it was important to spread the word for that. So that's the October 9th. It is not replacing any other input sessions, any other public hearings, any other open houses that we were planning anyway. So Josh, would you then go ahead and give people some information about other meetings?
So Josh Bussard, Director, Johnson County PDS. So as we move towards project completion and the adoption of the future land use map and the matrix, and as we publish a first draft, we're expecting that we will have a open comment period, and that'll be online, so you can respond online. Of course, you can come in person, telephone calls, email, however you choose, but there'll be a way that the public can comment on the plan draft. And we expect that comment period to be from December 1st to approximately December 15th. Of course, that is subject to a little bit of change as we complete this project. And on December 5th, we're proposing, that's pretty solid, I think, we're going to have an open house here at the County Health and Human Services building. And you can come and view the plan. Staff and JAO, our consultants on the plan, will be present. And we can answer any questions, talk about the plan, and, of course, take any other feedback. And then once we move through that, we'll begin the actual official public hearing process with the Planning and Zoning Commission. And that should happen at the January P&Z Commission meeting. Hopefully, will be the first public hearing on the plan as it moves towards eventual approval by the board. And again, jocoplan.com, that's where you can find all the latest and greatest. And I guess another, since you're talking housekeeping, Janelle, just wanted to remind everybody that the map and the matrix, or also known as the development guidelines, the copy that we will be talking about today is, because there's a couple of drafts that are out there that I think, you know, people have asked for or that have somehow gotten out. But those, what is on IQM2, which is uploaded today, that is the most current draft. So if you brought anything from home that you printed off last week, that's a chance that is probably not the latest. But other than that, I can go ahead and get started. We'll dive right in unless there's any more questions or comments.
Questions for the board about housekeeping. All right. Floor is yours, sir.
Okay. And as you can see on the agenda, we are agendized to talk about the future land use map, which you guys should have copies of. And there's also copies out there out front. If we run out of copies, let us know. We can get you some more. And also, we're going to have our live GIS up here to as we talk about the map. And we also, on the same agenda item, we have the future land use development guidelines, or also known as the future land use development matrix. So that's all one agenda item, because we need to go back and forth between each. You can't have one without the other. So, and as just moving on.
Josh, before you even get going, I mean, that's a pretty big change, actually, in and of itself. We didn't have this before, so it's really two things now that you have to consider as opposed to just a map. So it's
as we talk about changes, probably the first thing that you're going to notice is that there's staff is no longer proposing a North Quarter development area. You'll see a residential growth area. You'll see conservation areas with conservation preservation and conservation development. Commercial, industrial, public, and we also have our municipal areas and our village boundaries on there.
To me, in a way, it's a lot easier to understand. It's essentially a map with a legend.
Yeah.
So and I just want to stress that this, and Janelle alluded to it, but this map, it's a draft. This is PDS's initial stab at it. Ultimately, this is, as I've said many times before, this is the board's plan. And PDS staff was intentionally, we're pretty cagey. We took information from the CPC, the public input forums, the interviews and focus groups, and staff expertise, but we didn't work with the board at all on this because I wanted you guys to sit down and have a fresh look, and then we could all talk about it together, or you guys could discuss it together as the board. And I talked about, we also have a matrix, and this matrix is going to help us help the board make further decisions. So if there's an area that may be suitable, as shown in the zoning compatibility matrix, and we'll get into a few examples because that's the best way to do it, and then the development matrix, it'll talk about what types, what is encouraged, and what is required. So, for example, it's required that any development or rezoning application would be required to comply with zoning and subdivision requirements, but then you might take into account the environmental impact. Any development that occurs is going to somehow affect the environment. It's just you can't, do something without affecting something else. So it's up to the board to decide, is this too much impact? Are we willing to, for this development to go through or to be approved, are we willing to, I don't like to use the word sacrifice, but have this, is this impact acceptable? And this matrix, it'll help us to decide that. And as we go forward today, I would like to, as best as possible, sort of keep us, as we talked today and Friday, if we need to, I would prefer that we go township by township. You guys can choose the order of where we want to start. Maybe we want to start in Newport Township, or maybe we want to go down to Fremont Township. I don't know. But you guys can choose a starting point. But there are primarily four areas that staff struggled with. And when we went about trying to make a decision what we, what would be a residential growth area or a conservation development area or a commercial area, we sort of had a rationale. So one, we wanted to have development, I want to say that was closer to the cities, but it wouldn't interfere with their projected city growth. We wanted to make sure that if the development were to occur, that it wasn't in the city's immediate growth area. The cities wouldn't like that, and I would never support that to the board. We also looked at the quality of existing road networks and opportunities for connectivity, because if you recall, one of the main goals that the board wanted was opportunities for connectivity. We didn't want to have several cul-de-sac type developments. We wanted to be able to have connectivity so we can utilize two major roads or somehow connect existing cul-de-sacs. We looked at past growth and development patterns. We wanted to minimize impacts to sensitive areas and productive farmland as well. So with that...
So the four circles, Josh, I assume, are the places where staff
had... This is these four circles, this is the area where I think staff, we struggled some. And I think we sort of let this open. We want to know what the board thinks. So at first circle, we'll start down south by Lone Tree.
Well, I don't want to presume that's where, is that where people want to start?
Sure.
Is
what
well, no, I wanted to explain the circles
first.
Oh,
I see. Okay.
So I've got a question here before we go to the map. I got very confused over the weekend as I was reading the future land use development guidelines, or what you call the matrix,
mm-hmm.
and the dating on these. Is there an error on the dating?
What do you
because
mean?
Because it says draft 725, and in my folder I had one that said draft 8.2, and so the one that's marked 725, that is actually the new one, and the one
yeah,
that
we
using.
Just, I, we just forgot to change this.
So yeah, what is it should the be 8.28, I think.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll just jump
Thank
in real
you.
Quick. This is Nate Mueller, Assistant Director of PDS. With the four circles we're going to look at here, these are areas where even amongst staff we had a lot of back and forth discussions on the appropriate land use for these areas. So that's when Josh says struggle, that's what he means. We had struggle coming to consensus within our own.
Those circles are not on our map.
Right. They're not. They're just in this map.
Right. This is just this. So the GIS map, this is going to be our discussion map, and this is just the draft. And I'm projecting this is probably going to change. But I just wanted to, the pink circles, those are areas that I had concern about, and I wanted to make sure that we were able to highlight and discuss. So the first one in down south in Lone Tree, we've been approached by actually the Lone Tree School District, and even a city council member at the last comp plan committee meeting came, and they talked about that they want to see more residential growth down in the Lone Tree School District area. The reasons primarily are that they feel that the lack of residential growth is negatively impacting the Lone Tree School District. If you want to go to Sand Road, so here on Sand Road, this is an example. It's a great road. It's not in any city's growth area. There is quite a bit of floodplain, but that we can figure that out, and the floodplain is actually unmapped. It's not in any, as I said, it's in any city's growth area. So we would want some direction there. What does the board feel about any growth to occur down in on Sand Road?
Okay, so you jumped real quickly away from that first circle.
Oh, okay. We want to go back
to
Lone Tree,
it, please. So yeah. I was noticing, and it looks like, you can't tell on there, but from the maps that we have, that oval is within the, or part of it anyway, is within the fringe area of Lone Tree.
It is, and yes, what I would like to do, Lisa, if we could, just finish, talk about highlight, and then we can pick a township, and we can just talk about each one, because we need to go through this
okay.
entire map.
So you're going to tell us every purple circle and why you made it purple quickly, and
right.
then we'll come back and get
right.
into
yeah,
it.
Right, these are just things that I want to highlight
okay.
about
right.
why we need to
okay.
why we need to pay a little bit extra attention to
I
it.
Just
I
didn't
think.
Want to miss my chance
nope.
if that was my only
No, 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 we are going to...
Done, you didn't say anything, it's so. Over.
Then you guys can decide if circles first, or if you want to go township by township.
Okay, it's fine, it. Sounds good.
You
right.
just need to be methodical about it. So
see, that's... It's Sand Road south of 500?
South of.
Or north of 500?
South of Iowa City, north of.
Bills.
North. Looks like it's a kind of a long side to True Blood.
But it doesn't
take south.
All the way down to 22. It's just Iowa City to
Bills.
500.
Yeah.
Okay.
Approximately.
All right.
So this board has been referred to as circle jerks before, so I'd like to. I think we could start with, for me, I could start with the circles and it'd be okay before we go township by township.
Well,
let me,
I got two more here.
What's that one?
Then, okay, so, keep losing. So where are we at, Mitch?
American Legion.
Okay,
Road.
So American Legion. So this is another area. So you can see we identified a growth area with that yellow hash. If you're familiar, of course, American Legion Road, you drive a mile or two east of Iowa City and you'll come to the area known as like 1,000 driveways. So there literally are.
It's so it's the
news.
Area between the 1,000 driveways
and Iowa City.
Growth of Iowa
yep.
City.
And talk about how, you know, what Iowa City would feel about having growth right there. They've talked about generally their growth area is Taft Avenue, possibly a little bit further to the east. So we need to talk about, do we want to expand that growth area essentially? And then you want to go up north here, everybody's favorite area. So as you can see, this area here, generally it's the area that formerly was in the North Quarter Development Area, but staff, and then we said, we went back and forth, but ultimately we decided to take it out just because, one, there's a lot of residentially zoned ground there, and if the ground is already zoned, no matter what this land use plan says, that you still maintain that development right. And also it's lots of sensitive, environmentally sensitive areas, woodlands, steep slopes. It would be difficult to have any connectivity in subdivisions whatsoever. And then it's kind of a long ways to drive out there. Possibly we also have the option, if someone said, I want to rezone this property with this matrix, the board can still look at each application on a case-by-case basis and determine if they would want to amend this land use plan or amend this land use, this future land use map or not.
So those are your four purple
Those
points.
Are the four.
So if I, they're not on this draft plan because you didn't know what to do with them without board direction.
The hope is that after we've discussed them, they'll become a color or not, and then the circles come off.
But really, but there are four areas that you had, you needed a lot more board direction,
you need direction
before
on.
You could.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
So with that being said, should we just pick a township and go?
I would pick a corner and make your way around the map.
All right. Well,
I don't care what corner you pick.
Right there,
Monroe.
Mitch chose for
we'll start in the in
so
the
so we're in Monroe.
Monroe Township.
Well, that's a tough one. I don't know.
So, and Mitch, you and Nate, you guys did the majority of the work on this map, so I'll let them go ahead and talk about some of the specifics.
So, Mitch Brouse, I'm assistant planner, PDS. As you can tell, Monroe Township, we've identified it essentially all agricultural except for all the property that's publicly owned, which is identified as public. We've had, we have some development that kind of scattered through this area, just due to it's mostly agricultural area, we've kind of opted to leave it out, or at least not identify anything for residential. I don't know.
Yeah, and a lot of the road network, with the exception of 120th, cutting east and west, it is all gravel roads. Several of the gravel roads with the existing development are already near capacity, so it'd be tough with our current guidelines to get more residential on those areas as well.
The roads we're upgrading are actually in Jefferson Starship.
Yeah.
John Deeth calls them Jefferson Starship. Just
an airplane.
Yeah, formerly.
So, but we have been upgrading some roads, but they are not in Monroe Township.
Right.
More
if
right.
The board does continue or choose to continue improvements to Amana Road going west, they may get into Monroe Township. And that's a situation where, as infrastructure comes along, as development pressure comes along, as other things happen, like Josh said, we have that matrix that an area may become appropriate if things are happening that would bring it into some of the guidelines that we like to see for those.
There is a plan to improve Amana Road, but not to the level that you would want for development.
Yep. Okay.
We good with that?
Going
ag
east
area?
Or south?
Let's go east.
Keep it clocked.
It's a little bit more exciting that way. So as we get over in between Swisher and Shoeyville, we've identified Highway 965 as economic development area, but as it's identified currently, it's just a kind of all go get it economic development. No real guidelines as to what type of economic development we've seen. So what we've done is the portion south of 120th along Highway 965 all the way down to Cedar Ridge Winery, we've identified as commercial, primarily because there is quite a bit of residential development as you get south a little bit further of 120th. North of that, we have a medium intensity economic development area, and then the blue here is a higher intensity area. This is located, the blue would just be a full industrial area. It's located just between Highway 965 and 380. To the north in Linn County is a truck dealership, I believe, and then just north of that is actually the rest stop. So this is one of the areas of the county we thought makes a lot of sense. If we're going to have true industrial style development, it makes sense. And then also Cedar Rapids is quickly coming that way, so at some point in time that area might be able to be put in.
I was just going to ask,
their water and their sewer. Yeah,
shouldn't they technically have a dotted line on this map? Yeah. I mean, don't they already?
They should. We have a fringe area agreement for this corridor right here with them.
Okay.
To be honest, I didn't have a shape for their city, so it was difficult for me to get a dotted line without just making it up.
I'm not sure if it's anything other than each side of the
it's,
road.
Yeah,
it's
I
the
don't.
965 corridor.
Oh, yeah.
In reading these maps, just for the public as well, the black dotted line is 2 miles out from the city. That's not necessarily the full extent of their fringe area. That depends on each fringe area agreement. So you'll notice in the legend we have a note that if a piece of property is within those black lines, you're going to need to check an additional document, which is that fringe area agreement.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Cedar Rapids fringe area would be fully within that larger boundary. So we can indicate it if the board feels that's necessary when we get to the final version.
It gives us the ballpark.
I thought that their fringe area agreement went farther east.
Yeah, Lisa, you and I talked about that one rezone that we did over there.
Yeah.
Ely has a fringe area.
The Cedar Rapids one is here.
Okay, so it does.
The Ely falls a little bit further over here. And again,
we'll
need to add when we do the final map.
So my question about this area is the part that remains gray, it looks like it would be infill development. And I almost need GIS up at the same time. I need like a dual system here. But if you take the one closest to Linn County, you've got a little tiny piece here along 965 that remains gray.
On the east side?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It'd be on the east side of 965.
So
it's
right
a little tiny piece.
Yellow.
And
is it agricultural now?
Well, mm-hmm. What I'm wondering is because they would have no access to a road, that's probably the reason, right?
Right.
But yeah, this portion. Yeah,
any access up there would have to come through city streets. So we figured we would want them to go to the city first and say, if you're going to have to stub off city roads or extend city infrastructure, go to the city because it might be more appropriate to be developed at urban
okay.
scale.
Okay, so it's not that we are opposed to development in that little part. We believe it should be part of Cedar Rapids city limits.
Cedar Rapids or Shuleyville, yeah.
Or Shuleyville.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, we're going to keep coming back to this. If someone has that property they want to develop, say we do have some residential that's come into the south, they go to the city and the city says, we have no interest in annexation, we don't care if you develop, then they can come back to us and say, well, I'd like to amend that to develop at county scale, and we can have that conversation knowing the city doesn't object.
That's my same question then between 965 and 380 is... there's a big
down
gray
south.
Chunk that stayed there. I thought
right.
I thought we already had some houses there back behind that commercial.
There's a little bit. Yeah. A lot of those are accessed off of 965 as well, so the commercial's against the road and the residential is behind. So what's shown is commercial growth area right now may have some split zonings.
But why wouldn't we want... or be open to that area right through there that's landlocked to anything else, that's like a remnant parcel almost, that would access onto 965 down at the bottom there. Why wouldn't we be open to residential there?
Would residential want to be next to all that industrial?
Well, they already are.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
A few of them are. But
and they've said a few things
here?
About that too.
Right. So, I mean,
why wouldn't we be open to something? Let's just not say residential.
Sure. The general
because
concept.
I don't think it's enough acres for a traditional farmer to be able to get their heavy equipment.
Right. I think from our standpoint, because it's sort of the vision of here is solid commercial development on both sides of the highway, having residential butted up behind it without existing road access may not be appropriate at this time.
Yeah, send them to Shreveville.
But what if you were, what about more commercial? Would we be opposed
to that? Theoretically, yeah.
And also, so these are quarter-quarter sections, Janelle.
So any, if you wanted to where Mitch has a little, or had a little hand, that would be a road length of over 1,200 feet.
Okay, so a cul-de-sac for a residential will violate our rule. I mean,
right. Yeah. It's a it's a lot of road distance. It's also adjacent to Shoeyville.
But this is different.
Really control access there.
Yeah, but this is different than the other part where you talked about, because here you'd have to go across 380. You'd have to have access.
Yeah.
And there's no bridge, and there's not going to be a connection there. So really, the only way to get in there is through the county.
Right.
So that would be an area that we would see if someone came to us and said, we're going to take this 80 acres and make it residential. They need to prove to us they can provide road access. They can get two access points. They can meet, I mean, it looks like there's some drainage ways through there. They can meet sensitive areas and stormwater and have the ability to prove that up front. And then we can amend the map and say, yes, that may be appropriate. And conversely, it may be appropriate as commercial if someone has a larger development they want to bring off the highway.
I just kind of look at it as it's a gray with surrounded by other colors. So it's infill of whatever it's infill. Right. I mean, the genie's already out of the bag here, and so why wouldn't we allow something else to go there?
And it's not that we're not allowing it. We have a mechanism, so maybe we could, this would be a good time to sort of, especially for people in the audience that are at home, to talk about the
matrix.
So, Janelle, let's say that, you know, you're a developer, and you wanted to pick one of those spots there, Mitch, a parcel, and what do you want to rezone it to? Mm-hmm. Say residential.
Residential. I say residential, but me personally, I'm never living next to the interstate. I don't know why people do it. Okay, but I'm the developer. I want to zone it to residential.
Okay, so great. Can
I get this out?
Yeah.
So you would. So right now, the and the process would be, so if someone come to us and say, look, this is what I want to do, I'd be like, well, look at the future land use map. It's in an area that's defined as agricultural. If you want to continue to go forward, you're going to need to file for a future land use map amendment, which is going to be an additional process, which almost every other city in the world does, except and a lot of other counties, except Johnson County, you know, a process to go ahead and amend the land use map. So this would be an opportunity for the board to consider this a land use on this parcel of ground prior to actually making a decision on rezoning. So they'll come to us and say, okay, so let's see, the category is agriculture. You want to change it, amend the map to reflect residential. So you go here to your zoning and offer compatibility matrix here on page number 3, and you see future land use category current, the gray is agriculture, and you would see that residential is an M. So that's, it may be compatible. So if there was a yes, so for example, agricultural, and it says if it were to be zoned ag, that a yes, that means definitely, you know, the board should rezone it. You guys have already agreed to that, and that would be smooth sailing. But let's say it's residential, maybe. That would require us to go to the decision matrix. So you can see here the development element, so future land use map. It should be consistent with the land use designation, and it's all those are required. So if the board was inclined to approve the map amendment, they would have achieved that development element. So zoning and subdivision requirements, they would talk to us, we would get the feeling what you want to do, and if they would be able to achieve those if they were zoned, and we feel that, you know, they could comply with all subdivision requirements, so that's good. Paved road, there are 965. If they needed to upgrade, what is that, 140th Street down there, that would be fairly easy to do. They're a legit developer. They'd be willing to work with the board on that. And that's encouraged? Great. That's sort of a that's a little check mark in favor of them. Public health requirements, those are required. They're going to have a package system approved by the DNR, one well, DNR approved. They'll meet all the public health department requirements, you know, check done, required. Emergency services, Fiona and Lonnie, they both feel that they can provide emergency access, no problems. The road infrastructure supports it. Okay, that's required. That's something that if the board was to consider amending this future land use map that they would need. And then the bottom three, environmental impact, negative impacts, and agricultural impacts. This is where I think the board really sort of hangs their hat on their decision whether they choose to amend the map or not. So you look at the environmental impacts. Doesn't look like there's any sensitive areas there. There's no floodplain. Based on previous archaeological assessments, there's nothing there. They'll still have to comply with the sensitive areas ordinance. You know what? I really don't feel that there's going, the board feels there's not going to be any environmental impacts. Negative impacts. What is this type of development? Is it going to negatively impact anybody? You look around, well, it's near Highway 965. There's other residentially zoned ground around it. It's adjacent to the city of Shuiville. And we don't really feel that there's going to be any excessive noise, traffic, light, glare, heat, vibration, dust, fumes, any other negative matters. And then, of course, being that we're a county, we'd look at the agricultural impact. And we see how big of impact is this going to have, and if it is going to impact agricultural lands, is the impact is such that the board is still inclined to amend this land use map for a residential use. And that's how you guys would sort of walk through the decision, and we would highlight this in our staff reports.
But here's my, the minute I say this, people are going to say I want to develop something there. That's not the case. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Right.
Okay. So we've got commercial, we've got residential, we've got heavy industrial. Is there even a commercial highway in there somewhere? If you take that whole area that you've left gray, you can make an argument that it's contiguous or a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. But on your scale here, because it's zoned agriculture, maybe is only agricultural, residential, and residential, or ag business. I'm not allowed, according to the scale, I don't want to develop, but I mean, every word we say now is going to be, this is. But I look at it, and I consider that infill. I don't know what it should be infilled with, but it could go a variety of ways, from the water park that was considering coming to our county to it could be contiguous up above with the commercial that's there. Red is commercial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be below contiguous and continue the residential. And it makes no sense for me to put that off limits for development when it is surrounded by other development, and then go out somewhere that isn't surrounded by other development and say we're willing to let development happen. That makes no logical sense to me.
I think just so we're clear, we're here to advise you, and I think that's a totally valid point. And if this is an area that the board wants to consider for residential or commercial development,
I think I'm inclined to agree with Janelle with a caveat, is I don't know which it would be.
Me neither.
I mean, that's the problem, is I don't know what...
Until I saw their application.
So yeah. Maybe we just need to leave it like it is, with the understanding that this probably is one of the places that you would approve a rezoning.
But according to this matrix, I would only consider it if it was ag, residential, residential, or agribusiness, and commercial isn't on there. And in this case, a water park would have been commercial, right?
Right.
Take that for example. A new vineyard, a new orchard, a new food.
Well, that
commercial highway, right?
Well, it'd probably be ag tourism.
It's one of the things that
I'd like to consider.
It's one of the questions that I had in the first place. By the way, I don't understand what the difference is between major ag tourism and commercial.
Yeah. Well, it's basically there's the ag component. Yeah. To be any type of ag tourism, you need to have some sort of agricultural component. And we'll be creating, when we update our UDO, an agricultural tourism zoning district. You wouldn't want to have, so in commercial, you could have a car dealership. Car dealership has nothing to do with ag tourism.
Uh-huh.
So we want to have a clear separation of what's what.
Okay. Maybe it should be going ag commercial.
And also, I think, to go back to the point that we were making, this is also, it's adjacent to City of Shelbyville. So
it would be moved.
And the interstate is right there. You can't get to it from that side.
So this is one of the confounding.
Well, they can't get there from Shelbyville.
Right.
But it's also in Swisher's fringe area.
No, I understand that. But so, to me, it's infill development. And I'm not proposing developing it.
Right.
It's just, it's infill development from Swisher, from Shelbyville, from Cedar Rapids, and from what's already there. So why would I take certain applications off the table?
Right.
So which I is what your proposal does.
You and Rod kind of hit it on the head. The reason we went with the matrix and added this whole second component is because there's a lot of places that could be appropriate for different types of use. And we don't know what those are until we see an application.
Let's let some developer propose it to us.
Right. So
but
the matrix
not,
we have.
It doesn't say maybe. They're already,
right.
We would say no to them
so
automatically.
Instead of, if they come to us with a straight rezoning, then we look at the compatibility matrix, we say sorry. If they come to us with, we'd like to amend the future land use map first, then we can look at that and see maybe the color of that should change to either red or yellow, depending on what they're proposing.
But they have to know to say that.
Right. Well, they would come to us and, I mean, a development of this.
They're not going
to
keep it a secret.
What I'm saying is that they might say, we want to do this one thing, and you go, nope, can't do it. They don't know that, there's another route to getting to that.
I think they coach.
When we get these questions,
that.
It's,
okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, we tell people, you can't do that with the current zoning, you're welcome to request a rezoning.
Okay.
I mean, our job is to inform them of the options out there,
so
if they can find a way to do it.
Let me make this clear then. In the current zoning of agriculture, we would only consider if we adopted this, and that's a million ifs, right? Agriculture, residential, or ag business. But if someone came to us and said, I want to put this gigantic water park there up at the top, and we could see they've got the roads, they've figured it all out, we would make them come first to amend the land use map.
Correct.
Before we would do it.
Yes.
It's not that we wouldn't consider it. It just puts another step in the process.
Right.
Okay. Because from my perspective, this needed one of your purple circles.
Yeah.
So I think this area is very complicated.
And we can always come back on Friday weekend if there's questions. We can take a closer look at the area, and we can talk about it a little bit more.
Well, I had the exact same thought as her, and I'm comfortable with your explanation and that would be the way we would handle it. I mean, there's a lot of anomalies on this map, and that just helped me think through it the way you just described it. So,
and I mean, it might make sense too, and maybe we should think on it and come back to just, you know, expand this commercial area. If we expand it to 380, we're not getting into any, you know, closer, really any closer to any residential, and just, you know, maybe take it
over
out and maybe increase the residential area to include here, and then take the commercial area out to 380 and just connect all the way to the interstate, you know, all that land.
How many acres is that?
So this would be about 40.
That's 40. So
this is probably
120, 140, 150, something like that.
Yeah,
sure.
40, 80, 91.
Yeah, and the only reason I would say not to do that, Mitch, is because for all we know, then somebody comes in and they want to put homes in there, and I don't know that that's necessarily a bad use either. It's just that we can't predict.
Yeah, I like the idea of jump off that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah,
you know,
but I do think
acres.
In that area that you have still gray, I'm actually open to a variety of applications. I consider it infill development, and that Shelbyville will never be able to surface it. Because the interstate is blocking them from Shelbyville, and Swisher's never going to come that far,
and we're blocking blocking Swisher with
we're blocking Swisher
anyway.
With our own developments. People aren't going to voluntarily annex in.
Right.
It has to have a flagpole.
But I'm very comfortable with your answer that we understand this is a tricky place. They would probably apply. We would give that consideration under this.
So that maybe this would help too, Janelle. The general concept of leaving an area where we're not sure what it should be as ag extends to a lot of the city immediate fringe areas as well. I mean, we realize that a lot of those take
something
that pocket between Corville and North Liberty. We know that's going to be residential sooner rather than later. But we don't want someone to come to us to rezone it to 5-acre lot residential when the city is going to say absolutely no way that needs to be annexed and done at city scale. So these are one of those areas where this is very unique in the county that it could have a lot of different uses that fit, and if we color it red now, they'd still have to amend the map to do it as residential. And it'd be the same thing as going from A to commercial or from A to residential. So the general thought was if we leave it blank, someone has to come to the board with a proposal and convince us, based on our development guidelines, that it's a good idea.
Can we take a look at the decision matrix? When you look at negative impacts, and it's the negative impact that the proposed project would have on the area, but it seems almost appropriate, maybe here, and then there's another place that I'll point out when we get to that part, that it could go the other way, too, that there's a negative impact that that area already would have on, for example, if it went residential, mm-hmm. you know, the noise level or the, you know, the emissions from the vehicles, et cetera, and that, you know, I just wanted to point out that that could go two ways, a negative impact, and that in some cases we might want to discourage certain things because of the negative impact that it would have on residents
right.
living there. Or like a school. Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. Did you hear that NPR thing about the schools? Yeah, that's where I grew up. Yeah, so I think that's something we need to keep in mind.
All right, you want to go to Jefferson East?
So we'll come back to that area then.
Before we do that, just I appreciate the fact that you guys sort of filled in. There was a little bit of area there around Coo Falls that was sort of hit and miss, and what you did there made sense.
Just one thing here. Janelle has been referring to this as infill. Well, it's more, I define, and I don't know how you guys define infill as actually within city limits. I think this is connecting to two different cities. It's kind of the growth area between Shoeyville and Swisher, and I don't know if there's a name for that. The growth area between Iowa City and Corva, we call it the corridor, but
consider an infill because it's surrounded by something other than
it's
ag.
Trapped.
No. I mean,
I don't know what the planning term for it though is.
But it doesn't quite connect them because there's a flagpole 965 running.
We can have infill in the county too. If you got a lot and mm-hmm. and nothing in the lot.
Yeah, I just was worrying. Not worrying, but I just was wondering.
Is there another term?
Yeah,
I just used it because I didn't know what to say.
We can see if the APA, American Planning Association, has a base definition of infill, and bring that back on Friday.
I'd be interested in seeing that. Yeah.
It's not a big thing. Thank you.
So just real quick, south of Swisher and Shoeyville, on the west side of 380, we kind of included all this area that's kind of already developed, but there's still pockets that potentially could see more development as residential. The floodplain actually is kind of right along this edge here, which is why we chose to kind of end it just on that side of Coo Falls Road. And so this line actually follows directly the floodplain until it reaches the public space. But any questions or concerns regarding this area?
Yeah, I think we see what happens when you allow development in floodplains, you know, the devastation that can happen, and that we need to not even mention it, much less encourage it or like draw little yellow lines.
Not,
that might
not
make
with Houston
people
still
think
underwater.
We might say yes.
Well, you know, a lot of
that would be a big fat no for me.
Yeah,
a lot of Houston that's underwater was never even in the 100 or 500 year floodplain. Was never expected at all.
Yeah, when everything's cement, the water has nowhere to go.
That's right.
And with no zoning and with 300-500 year floods in 3 years, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so just to add to that quick, not every floodplain, I mean, there's some floodplain that areas that are contained within like a residential land use category, but for the most part, we tried to kind of keep those out, especially the areas with mapped and delineated floodplain with a floodway. So it's not entirely that way, but in most cases, we've tried to keep those out of any type of development area. All right, I guess we can jump down here. So just on the other side of 380, still on 120th, we talked about this briefly, but we did add a commercial area. There's actually a gas station at this interchange already. And so we kind of expanded that and then added a little bit of band of residential directly adjacent with Shoeyville.
So you've got the church in and then you just squared it off?
Yeah, we actually...
The church behind the gas station.
Yeah, we actually followed parcel lines here.
Okay.
And so this is a parcel line. And Janelle, you kind of talked about up here. Primarily, we didn't include this as residential area because it's, you know, if we take away the city layer, there's no access to back in here, yeah. Even
so
with
city roads. So
they're going
to need to come through Shoeyville or Cedar Rapids one way or another
to get into that area, and so it, you know, didn't make a lot of sense to include it as our area.
Okay.
Is there a way to be able to see the current land use anytime you want on top of what you're proposing?
Yeah absolutely, we can pull it up right now. So
so it shows where it's expanding or contracting?
Right. So, yeah, I'll throw up zoning. And so pink is North Corridor development area.
So goofy that you have that little thing over there, that little pink spot.
Or here?
Yeah.
So I think this was because
Shoeyville
annexed
right
through here, which cut off the North Corridor. No, whoops.
It wasn't meant to be an island when it started.
Right.
Well, and that's why when we had discussions with Shoeyville about annexation, trying to point out that, hey, you can add a few hundred people to your city with the stroke of a pen anytime you want. This is an example.
All right.
And is the...
Sorry.
Can you throw current zoning on there as well?
Sure. Kind of gets tough to see.
Yeah. Maybe we need to turn it, you know, toggle it on and off or something
yeah.
like that. But.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to use a GIS map so we could actually, you know, switch back and forth and have kind of more interactive.
Did you have a specific question?
No, I wanted to see comparisons. When you and I met, for example, we were discussing what the difference is in a couple of places, how many acres are expanding, how many acres are constricting from any particular kind of development, most notably, I guess, in the NCDA, but really anywhere on the map.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. So just moving south of Shoeyville, we'll see a couple conservation, different conservation colors. The darker green, which it's kind of hard to see when it's in the hash marks like this, but this darker green here, or I guess medium green compared to the public area, is actually what we're calling, for now, conservation preservation, which is an area that we wouldn't entertain zoning or, you know, we've kind of identified we want this to be conservation. With our old map, we either have growth area or we have ag, and that included all of those areas that we thought had, you know, maybe shouldn't be developed for environmental purposes. And so we created a new land use category to try to take in some of those areas that we don't necessarily think should be agriculture, but we also don't think are appropriate to be developed for commercial or residential or anything like that.
And we talked, when I came in, I was really struggling with that because sure. of the huge misnomer that conservation preservation presents.
Preserving.
And I think that if you just call it what we called it, then it makes it a lot more easy to understand what you would allow in there and what you wouldn't. So
right.
wasn't that where you...
So also like change the name, so instead of conservation development, change it to cluster
development.
The issue is we change the name of our rural cluster zoning district to rural conservation, because really that's what the development doing. It's a conservation mm-hmm. subdivision. So if we can change the name or we can just leave it as is and we 90% draft, we can think of something.
I think conservation preservation sort of works because you're preserving it for future conservation.
But conservation development is the one that...
Yeah. Doesn't it sound a little bit like, though, that there would be no houses in there, too?
Well, isn't conservation development what we used to call the rural cluster?
Yeah, that's where
So... Yeah,
if you want to read the definition.
Although it's got higher requirements than even with a lot of our rural cluster stuff, you had to voluntarily do it. This would be required.
Right. So the way it's set up in the compatibility matrix for the conservation preservation or conservation development, I'm sorry, the only zoning, ag is a yes, public is a yes, and then rural conservation zoning is a maybe. So if you have a piece of ground that you want to rezone for residential development, it's going to have to be that conservation district wherein we automatically require 50% open space, cluster development, at least 15 homes,
shared
centralized water,
shared
and wastewater. Yeah. Yep.
And
so if you have something that's zoned A and you want to put housing on it, it may be appropriate given proximity to cities, road surface, but it's going to have some features that we want, that staff feels should be preserved. You know, whether that's heavy timber cover or steep slopes, floodplain. But it's kind of those parcels that are sort of a 50-50, you know, half of it's just flat row crop field, half of it's that steep wooded terrain that you don't really want to disturb. Those might be appropriate for that conservation style development.
Okay, so the conservation preservation will always be a part of it, and then something else could be a possibility, right?
So
for that, those areas.
Conservation preservation, the goal of that is to preserve.
Right.
You don't want to disturb the area. It's, you look at it on the map, you're going to see floodplain, you're going to see lots of wooded, steep slopes.
And not only not to develop it for housing, but also not to farm it.
Right.
And so the example right here is just kind of a sliver of the conservation preservation area. It is partially, there is some residential zoning in there. So technically, if you can meet the requirements, this could still be developed. But with respects to a rezoning application, we would say we want to see this conservation. We want to see this preserved. We don't want to see any development here. In this area, you know, part of why we've identified this as, you know, this, even though it's kind of tied up into the city and it's up in the interstate, is there's really no access to it without disturbing a floodplain.
You know,
so it's
not. I jumped ahead.
That's
so
all right. You're all right.
I was on the one
there.
So
we,
I was on the one ahead and mm-hmm. thinking, wait, that's not what we talked about.
Right.
So I was looking at conservation development.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And so that's kind of the idea of conservation preservation is it's instead of default ag, it's a default environmental amenity type.
Okay.
Right. You know, it has some amenity that we don't want to see disturbed.
I just want to clear up a couple points just because syntax can get us in trouble. When we say not appropriate for ag, we mean we don't want to see it clear cut and row cropped. You know, maybe
right.
appropriate for, you know, a livestock pasturage or something like that where you're not necessarily going to impact that woodland or features, but those areas we wouldn't feel would be appropriate for clear cutting and farming. And obviously, you know, over how many hundreds of years people have been farming Iowa, they haven't been clear cut to this point. So clearly they don't make sense as row crop ground.
So that's the solid green color.
That's the hash green.
So the hash green is conservation subdivisions would be considered.
Yes. So let me change the color. So
it's
the dark green right here that has the green in the back, that's public, and the green in the back is actually the zoning, which is our public zoning. This kind of medium green, which I'm going to change to orange.
It's going to be clear if you look at the printed maps as well.
Yeah,
printed
maps
of the public
make it
as well. The shades of green show up a lot better printed on your smaller map. So you see kind of a light
just
green,
got too
a medium
many
green,
things going on
and a
right
dark
there.
Green.
Just too many layers.
So yeah, this is conservation preservation. It'll be orange. It's not going to line up with the printed maps anymore, but it'll be orange. And then this kind of yellow green, which we have over here, is the conservation development, which is what Lisa was alluding to. And so this is the area where we know there's an environmental amenity that we want to try to protect, but at the same time it might make sense maybe to have some development, but if there's going to be development, we're going to require that it meets our 50% of properties put in open space. Other than the county physically purchasing property, it's really the only way that we can kind of guarantee that conservation or property is protected And because that 50% that they have to preserve would actually put and be put in an easement that would protect it for into the future. Otherwise,
is there a reason why we couldn't make that percentage higher?
We picked 50% because that's what's required in the zoning district, but certainly that would be, you know, something that we could discuss.
Well, and it's a, I mean, that's the minimum.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. Couldn't we say 75 or I don't know the number.
Well, I mean, sometimes people do more.
Yeah, so we have some bonuses, some density bonuses where you can actually have more homes mm-hmm. if you preserve up to, I think it starts at 75%. Yeah. Huh. So if you had 40 acres and you put 30 of it into open space, you could put technically 50 houses and condo style development on,
hey,
on
Becky,
the remaining 10 acres.
Can you take care of that problem?
Mm-hmm. The screaming at
you?
This is the future land use map, and that's what we're looking at. But what is the existing zoning of some of these properties, and how does it differ? And which?
Well, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, when what supersedes if it's zoned one way? I mean, just because it's on the map is a different way. Does it automatically get rezoned that way, or no?
No. So
the just to vote to rezone.
The future land use map is a guide for requested rezonings.
Okay.
For properties currently zoned residential, that property owner has a right to develop under our current residential zoning guidelines.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're grandfathered in, basically.
Yep.
Right, and if we were to change it, then we'd be possibly facing some future legal issues.
Okay.
You know, that's, so you know, a lot of this is very, you know, historically zoned from the 60s.
So this is a guideline for future zoning changes.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then the other point I wanted to make about the terminology is when we say conservation preservation, that's a terminology for our view of how the land should be used. It has nothing to do with a conservation board or land that is or will be owned by the conservation board,
right,
unless that landowner chooses to sell to the conservation board. So it's not saying that this ground can only be bought by conservation and used for official conservation purposes. It's more about the type of development we want to see on that privately held land.
And so just in this, you know, this conservation development, you know, for lack of a better word now, you know, the board, you know, we'd consider, you know, a rezoning to RC in this area, but it's not a slam dunk. They're still going to have to show, you know, good road access and can meet the subdivision standards. And you're going to even if you are doing 50%, you're still not having too much environmental impact. And, you know, you're not going to hurt the neighbors or the ag uses or things like that.
Why did you leave these?
So, you know, it's kind of funky because it has these kind of arms sticking up.
Right.
But we kind of chose these areas because there's, you know, existing wooded areas, which often indicates that there's sensitive areas in the area. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's sensitive areas, but it kind of indicates mm-hmm. that there, you know, there's a reason why this hasn't been clear.
It appears that there's like a creek or something.
Right.
The other things remain gray then and in the fringe area. So they could be normal subdivisions, not conservation subdivisions.
These would be...
I mean, they could be conservation subdivisions, but right. There's nothing really to preserve, right?
Well, the way they're set up now, it would depend on the fringe area agreement. If that's in the county review area or the rural planning area, I think is what it's called, it says county zoning regulations hold. So we'd come back to this map and see that should be ag. It's 160 acres. It's pretty much open crop ground right now. We don't want to lose that to ag development. Whereas this, you know, right next door, we may see that as more appropriate for some limited residential development, given that, you know, 3/4 of the ground already isn't openly arable.
Yeah.
So someone could still request to come in on that little square there and make it either conservation development or even full residential. But again, they'd have to show the board what they want to do and state the case to convince you guys.
Yeah. And so we kind of have some of this conservation area, but for the most part, going east out of Shoeyville, we've kind of identified this as valuable ag land, productive ag land that we wanted to keep as ag land.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't put any residential areas along 120th here.
North of 120th.
North of 120th, yeah. We just have these kind of preservation areas because those areas clearly are not being, you know, fully row cropped or fully in an ag production because there are a lot of trees, and of course they can still farm them if they wish. Any questions around 120th?
Thank you, Becky. Jefferson East, questions?
And you're kind of into starting into big growth.
Yeah. Well, okay, if you don't mind, if we could look quickly just down on this wing, still north of the reservoir. We took, you know, all of this area that's, you know, has quite a bit of development in it. Is lots of it's already zoned for residential purposes, and added it as a residential growth area. We felt it was appropriate. We felt it was county scale infill development, and that it made sense if there's, you know, parcels that still have good road access and, you know, don't have a lot of environmental amenities, it makes sense to try to site some more homes in there and take advantage of the infrastructure we're already kind of using for those purposes.
So all the way down Curtis Bridge?
Right, all the way down to the end. We have one little portion right here of conservation preservation because that's... Yeah. So this orange here is one of the only areas where there's actually privately owned land all the way to the reservoir. And so we obviously don't want to see development, you know, right on the banks. And also, there's, you know, it'd be tough to get any access there because it's already kind of developed along the road. Questions, concerns? All right.
I think you'll get stopped when people have questions.
I believe it. So on to Big Grove now. You know, east of Solon, similar to north of 120th, we kind of identified that as all valuable agricultural land or land that we kind of wanted to maintain that way. And, you know, if someone wants to develop directly adjacent to Solon, it meets some of those criteria where it's close to the city and it has good roads. But we'd prefer to see that if it's in the county, stay as ag. And if you want to develop it, have the city annex you, and then it might be more appropriate to do it at the city scale.
So, a little more technical, I gotta get into the map. There's very little land along Ely Road that's both sides of the road that's not Corps of Engineers. But the land that is not Corps of Engineers.
North of 140th?
Yeah. North of I always forget what that
20th.
Road is called coming out of Solon.
382. Right here.
So north of 382 on Ely Road, there's very little land that's not Corps of Engineers. So down south, you took one and you made it residential. That's not already residential.
Where are we looking? Just down here.
The hash above 382 there.
Yep.
You've colored that out.
That's right. Right, for residential.
Even it's not yet developed.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Okay. And so, go ahead, Lisa.
Well, can you show me where in relation to this is Gallery Acres West?
So, this is the golf course is right here, uh-huh. And I believe this one. Was the one
okay? So Gallery Acres West is just to the east of that, right there. Then correct
or
east of the golf course, east and north.
I mean, east is core land.
This
is
yeah.
This is the golf course all around. There's these kind of two spurs of development, of residential development.
And you've made something yellow along 140th, which is hard surface.
Mm-hmm.
But only up to Polk Avenue? Is that what you've done?
Correct. So Polk Avenue, actually right here between 382 and 140th, is a level B road. It's a dirt road. So, you know, that's kind of why we left this island here, is because there wasn't a real good way to get development. If Polk Avenue here is ever improved, it might make sense to kind of include this.
Devil's advocate, not advocating. If developments were occurring, someone wanted to develop that, couldn't we do what the cities do and make them pay to develop the road?
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean,
so that would be part of that matrix, is anyone can come to you at any point and say, I want to pave this 6 miles of county road for you. I mean, if it meets the rest of requirements, by all means.
So you just took the contiguous use and the fact that it was going to be a brand new road, and you made it yellow.
Right.
As you go on up Ely Road, there's, I think, only one other parcel that has access to Ely Road. No, on up.
North.
Maybe there isn't.
No, there's a railroad.
There road. Is on the paper map.
The paper map makes it look like there is a 40 section that has access to the road that's not Corps of Engineers.
Oh, yeah. Right, way, four, way here. Here. Just south of below, Seven
yeah.
Sisters.
Yeah.
Right there. Right, you, back.
Yeah. Right here?
No,
oh, right here.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so does our road map,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So I guess that's not railroad anymore, is it?
That's the trail corridor.
That's the trail. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. So.
Green is public
Green
land.
Between
Green
that
is
and Naples.
Public.
Yeah, that's floodplain.
That's flood.
Yeah, between Ely Road and Naples looks to be zone. A quarter section Turn that attaches to Ely Road on the east and 120th on the south.
Mm-hmm.
That, but maybe that's right. That quarter section, move up. Move
right up on the
other side
pit.
Of the road.
Where are we looking?
In the armpit, just left
right
of.
Here?
Nope. Left. Nope. Left. On up to the left. To the left, to the left, to the left. Right there.
Yeah.
Right here.
Okay.
That went over to Naples as well.
That connects to two hard surface roads, right? They have access to, I don't know who owns them, but. Oh,
there. So
it's not Naples. They have access to Ely, and they have access to 120th.
Right here. These ones.
I don't. If it's one owner, I don't know that it is, but.
What are the, is there any flood there?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Floodplain runs straight through the middle.
Even though the Corps doesn't own it, it's all flooded.
And that's right. Why we.
That's, that was my only question.
Yeah. Yeah.
I so. Just would like to say that all up in that whole area, I'm very concerned about the current water problems that they're having. And I think that that's needs to be considered when we, you know, are just looking in that area for possible residential development.
So as part of the subdivision requirement, the board is charged with protecting public health, safety, and welfare. If, for example, a developer comes and it's proven by the health department that that water is bad, and that they're not treating it in a manner that the board is comfortable with treating that water, then you can deny the subdivision application. So,
no, and I don't.
That's
I don't
part
know.
Of the process to protect that if someone were to, you know, the water were to be an issue, that the board would be protected.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know that we've ever approved anything where the Department of Public Health said no on the water. I mean. That's just
because
no.
I mean, it comes in after the fact, though, that then there's...
I mean, there's been issues with water, but in all cases, it's always been...
They've been able to fix
it. Usually, it's treated at the well.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, placed on the homeowner as a treat or just left. You know, it's, you know, the water is good before it gets to the house.
But that's one of those things, though, that, okay, I get that... It would be on the developer to prove that they can provide good water. So then let's say they do, and then you've got this situation where then down the road all of a sudden there's arsenic in the water, then and people are going, county, you know, this is on you, it's in the county. And
how far down the road? If it's 55 years, are you guys really held liable for a change in the water supply?
Well, I
mean,
I don't
if
know,
we can prove that it's potable at the
there's
time.
There's arsenic now. I don't think we should allow more.
Right, if there's arsenic now, but
there is
in one well, yeah.
Right.
I mean, the rest of the subdivision.
So to allow more out there, when it would draw from the same place, just seems like we would be remiss and.
But we would look at that before we approved anything. We would ensure that that water is safe. So I don't think that would. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
That we don't want to set people up for failure, but also at the same time, there's ways to ensure that that water is safe.
Okay.
Part of it, it's going to be on the developer if they won't play the game. you know, hey, yeah, they need to, maybe they need to drill it. If they know that there's arsenic or there's issues in the area, it might be on them in their best interest before they purchase that, that they need to drill a test well and actually test the water.
So your question was a good one, though, Nate. How far down the road, you know, is it something that we need to be?
How far in the future should we be looking?
How are we liable at all?
Seven generations. I don't know that we are. I mean, that's the,
well, this already happened. Right. I mean, it already happened right in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't have any liability.
No, I mean, not necessarily legal liability, but the...
I mean, the Homeowners Association has to fix it. They've fixed it. I mean, this happened at I don't remember what it's called, but just right in this area.
No, they haven't fixed it yet. It's still a concern.
There's one that just got redone. Right, the road that, I don't know what it's called, but right where there's a little thing, just almost to Lake McBride entrance, that subdivision had to redo everything.
Twin something?
Well, south, that's north, okay. This was south. They had to redo everything.
It
happens.
Yeah, it does.
Can we keep moving on the map and point taken about, I mean, water and all of these things would be in consideration on rezonings. Arian,
Can I throw one
at break?
I was going to throw one quick thing before we leave Big Grove, just for what it's worth. And I'm kind of presuming that you're taking this attitude, so tell me if I'm incorrect. Just south of the city of Solon, Racine runs into the new high school. I don't know if you still get to call it new. It's been there a while now. But
the new middle school.
And that's a pretty... I hear more about that area than most, which makes sense because you got literally hundreds of kids coming in that way every day to school. I'm kind of presuming that we're saying that's a city fix, that they would have to annex and do whatever they're going to do there.
That was a kind of mentality we took.
You mean developing on Racine?
Well, or just even, I mean, there's concerns about the road. Oh. There's a house on each side that were sort of like, probably, mm-hmm. I don't know if they should have been permitted or not, but they're there.
I think they're farmstead split lots.
Okay.
Yeah, those look like.
So it's just,
looks
like it. It's just kind of a matter of, I hear about it a lot from the public.
Mm. And it's in there, most of it's within that 2 mile.
It touches the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just, so we're talking about.
I have to pull the map to look for sure. I think that's one of Solon's growth areas.
Okay.
So we tried to.
Yeah, here we go.
The general philosophy was stay out of their growth areas, that if they want to develop at the county, they need to go to the city first.
Or upgrade the roads or anything else.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the things that we. I don't know if other people hear about that. I hear about that one a lot.
You just hear about it because you're at the football game that everyone yells at you.
So.
Having talked to the city of Solon as well, they said they get some interest from people wondering about annexation in that area as well. If it's going to be developed, it should probably be at a city scale.
So this kind of lighter blue is according to a fringe area agreement, they're near term to growth
and
area.
Has it in there.
Yeah.
And so you took a couple of things around Solon and you made them the conservation subdivision green.
Mm-hmm. Conservation preservation.
Conservation.
Oh, yeah, right here.
Green.
Oh, yeah.
The conservation, you say conservation preservation or?
The two little ones, the point on Solon's west side and the one up top center.
So both those areas, there's, I forget what creek this is. What creek is this?
Mill Creek.
Mill Creek runs through here. And so there's actually some residential zoning in here. And it's right in the middle of the floodway and floodplain. And so we kind of wanted to identify that as we don't want to see county development there. And then same with here.
Oh, but you made it light green, which means it could be county development, but it'd be conservation subdivision, right?
No, it's that bright
green. It's preservation.
It's supposed to be preservation.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
these.
Or you're looking further down by
Poplar. Since it might be appropriate case by case.
Right. Okay, it's the bright light green, my bad.
Yeah, the greens are kind of tough, and we're still kind of working on that.
Okay.
Bright green.
Alright, never mind.
It is an easy to agree.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to figure out how you wanted a conservation subdivision there. So yeah.
It looks a lot.
I'm glad to know you don't.
Yeah. It looks a lot better on the computer. The PDF does. But when you print it, the colors kind of wash away and it's tough to tell. So we got to work on that.
Alright. Big Grove. Anything else in Big Grove? And then I'm going to take a quick break.
Can we do Knockout Cedar Township before we do it?
Then you get it all the way across. All
right.
There's 80 acres of cedar that really needs.
So here, all we have is a little bit of public area. And I'm aware there's a few more publicly owned areas in here that I haven't gotten marked on this map yet. But public area, the conservation, and then the village of Sutliff. Other than that, we have identified it entirely as ag area.
Other than the village plan in the Sutliff itself.
Correct. Yep.
And I'll tell you that I wasn't part of that. Rod told me. I have all the stories about their village plan. But they made it a lot smaller than we would have recommended to them. I mean, and I think that was a mistake on their part. But it is what it is.
Can you tell me about the zoom in on that tiny little residential yellow that you've got in the southwest corner of Sutliff along Highway 1?
Dillon's Furrow.
Oh, oh, sure.
210th.
Right here?
That's Dillon's Furrow.
So this is Dillon's Furrow Road. Mm-hmm. This is actually an existing residential subdivision with 15 to 25 acre residential.
Already
lots.
Zoned.
We just did a rezoning last week.
We just did.
Yeah, this is another example of why I at least sometimes want to be able to see current zoning overlaid on top of this.
We have here.
We did a rezoning because it was incompatible. I mean, it was multiple on one parcel, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an inherited problem that
It looks a little bigger than what I remember from that.
And we have Dillon's Furrow here. You got two. I mean, if Dillon's Furrow were ever to be upgraded, you can access up Highway 1, Dillon's Furrow, you can get two points of access to connectivity. It's not being farmed. It's in between Iowa City, so we felt that it was just a good.
Something to consider anyway.
And we encourage access off of Dillon's Furrow instead of the highway, correct?
Right, but you'd have two accesses.
The DOT might allow it and they'd be okay with it.
So. Yeah. The DOT allows driveways that we don't like, so.
Yes.
I mean, I would.
This is also with that loop road, you know, you could run a cul-de-sac off of Dillon's Furrow and not, you could get substantial development without hitting that 900-foot limit too, because it's such a tight area. It's just going to lend itself more than likely to that higher density residential.
Okay. So before we take a break, over in the upper right corner by Sutliff, when you come down from, I guess it's 145th, south of Sutliff, there. Mm-hmm. So isn't that where the fen is, right there?
And yeah.
Can that be a bright green?
Yes, it should. It's just a
dark green.
Yeah, I haven't gotten all the public areas.
Kelly, that's what he meant. Yeah.
Okay.
Get in.
Yeah. And so there's all the ones that are zoned public are in, and then a number of other ones. But the ones that aren't zoned public, I'm having to pick out hand by hand and highlight.
Oh,
so
we'll work with
it's taking a little longer.
And give us a full list as well.
Sounds good.
So that was one on my list that I know I needed to go back and highlight.
All right.
Okay. Questions about cedar? We're about halfway through where we intended to be today, unless Kurt gets too squirmy and we'll be adjourning sooner. So how about a quick break and then come back and we'll do some more segments.
5 minutes?
Quick.
I'm okay unless you see my head hit my iPad.
Before 4:30.
He said he...
How do you recall so I found, email? Do you know
I found the smaller version out there. Is it an accurate one, the one that was out on the counter?
Take it away.
Yep.
That
front? Yeah, okay. The same.
Well, did you find it?
No, like I've already sent it.
Easier in our limited space, so I put my big one away.
Yeah, I thought about that, but we wanted you to have something you could see.
Good thing to know.
One of the areas, yeah.
I wanted to show you this. This just came through. What
the hell happened to my phone?
I would assume
my hand, that's what.
It's not the company, I'm just worn out.
That's what I was looking at the calendar about.
Oh my god.
I think Nate's
interesting
drawing. But I also think we should write up something at some point. We should really
yeah. This whole dreamers thing is incredible.
He's such a coward.
All right. Who's ready? Everyone ready? There is coffee brewing if you're interested in coffee. Angie will come tell us when it's time. All right. We're going to be back in session. Jake here is with the Kelowna News. He would really love us to talk about Frytown and Lone Tree today.
So skip ahead.
Because of his deadline. So just, does anyone mind if we go to the bottom first?
No, we could skip around when we have a reason to anyway.
Because I think we
can... accommodating.
I think we can...
sometimes.
Move through the lower section a lot faster than the middle section.
Yes, and then work our way towards the top, and then if we have to, we'll leave...
some for that, Friday.
Yes.
Is that fair enough?
Oh, we're going. Right. That's going to happen.
We're going to be down there in Washington.
We're going to Washington Township.
Okay. So, starting in Washington Township, we have Joetown, Frytown, and then we've identified a commercial area at the corner of Highway 1 and 540th. That's where the Kelowna Trees Factory is and Stringtown Groceries and the produce auction are. But other than that, we've left it entirely agriculture, again, with exception to inside of the cities,
so
or inside of the villages.
Tri-County Dairy and
Farmer's Hen House?
Farmer, yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Provide all the words I wanted to say. They actually end up in Frytown's village plan. They're in that?
So the Hen House is not. It's here. It's Frytown. It's outside. We've not identified this as a commercial area.
Because they're actually off of 520th, right?
Right, right. So they're this blue, which is the heavy industrial zoning that they have there. And it's
a non-conforming existing use.
It wouldn't conform with this land use map, right, if it's adopted. We actually discussed this area specifically. This is 520th is a gravel road.
Right.
And so part of our
so spots, is. The
Cosgrove.
One going north-south.
Cosgrove. Road right there, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there is a twist to the Frytown plan. It actually has a growth boundary in it. It's the only one that has that.
Well, that was going to ask about that. Does
and it actually extends out to Highway 1.
Yeah, I think
is that like a fringe area agreement? Is it like a fringe area agreement?
It's just different than any other one we ever did. And it actually extends the...
along...
So there's...
more like a phase type.
Yeah, it's a phase thing.
Yeah, that doesn't really do it. Yeah, I don't have, unfortunately, I don't have those next phases in here.
Yeah.
But we can try to add them for Friday if that's something.
So you've got heavy industrial down on 520th for the dairy and the eggs. Because they're both on gravel roads, we're not recommending new businesses go there.
Right.
Correct. So this might be a fantastic time for a scenario using our matrix if you guys are up to it. Or if you'd rather keep moving, we can do that as well.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So if we identify this as an agricultural area, we feel that ag uses are the preferred method. Any existing zoning remains. So this remains a legal non-conforming use. If they ever want to rezone or change it, it needs to go to ag or maybe residential. If someone else came to us with a development opportunity that is a compatible use with that farmer's hen house, say it's a chicken facility or something related that would build on that existing use and have a similar impact, if they came to us to rezone this site, they would first have to do the future land use map amendment. And as we go through, one of the things we're going to come to is road service. It's encouraged that they be on a hard surface road. Well, this is one of those where as industrial, heavy industrial use, encouraged might read a lot stronger than some other uses. So that's a point for the board to say, before we even consider a rezoning, we're going to need to talk about a road performance agreement to upgrade one or both of these roads.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe they offer that off the top, and then there's some other considerations for this development to where an industrial use may be appropriate this site, given that there's industrial nearby.
We just simply wouldn't have allowed them to do Farmer's Hen House where it is now. It just wouldn't. Right. We'd have said you have to find a hard surfaced road.
Right.
And we've already had some conversations and work sessions with the board about the farmer's hen house doing some expansions. Mm-hmm. And we talked about if they were to do that, what the board might like to see for any road agreements and road upgrades.
Right. Yeah, we had a thing about that a few months back.
So if that property wanted to become whatever, that's at a value-added agriculture, at that point we would explore it, but road impact, whatever we can.
Yeah. Any impact on the road would be theirs.
Yeah, before we'd even entertain a rezoning, any of the things in the development elements in that decision matrix would have to be discussed and addressed. So concerns could be raised both from staff and the board before we get into a rezoning where mm-hmm. they've hired a surveyor, they have significant money invested in this development, and then they're expecting some sort of outcome because of opportunity cost.
There are additional challenges that if you notice, all of the houses on the south side of the road and some on the north side of the road sit right on the road. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you even needed an extra, 10 or 20 feet of right-of-way for shoulders, it really ain't happening there.
So, and you, depending on the type of use, you look at those negative impacts on the surrounding properties as well, with that many residences that close to an industrial.
So it's catch 22. I mean, even if somebody wanted to pay to upgrade the road, the neighbors don't want it.
Well, then, if we're using that property, for example, the road can go, the bed
could
can
go
move north.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But if you keep going, you've got that farmstead that's on both sides of the road.
Yeah.
On your way to the highway. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same farmstead on both sides of the road, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, nobody's ever going to let us willingly upgrade the road that way.
Could you take it over to Angle?
What you could do is just go straight.
If the developer
north into
wanted
Fytown.
To do this, they would have to do this kind of legwork up front.
Right.
And they'd have to find, they'd have to essentially prove to the board that we can get road service and meet the zoning and subdivision requirements that require hard paved surface for industrial development.
It'd make more sense to pave Cosgrove and come from
right.
that way.
And I mean, they want to cut their own new road up to
Angle. Of course,
they got that kind of money, but they'd have to show us up front is the key.
I mean, the other thing that we've always found, regardless of the size of the company, I mean, Maytag, for example, truck drivers go where truck drivers want
right.
to go.
Right.
Doesn't matter where you tell them to go. They go
straight east to the highway, even though they're supposed to go up to Frytown and across. Mm-hmm. They don't do that.
Whatever right. Google Maps tells them.
All right. So this is a Washington Township. Only the anomaly, and I'm not sure the rest of the board probably caught entirely what you were talking about, but the area between Frytown and Highway 1 is designed to be built out. But you haven't not colored anything.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I think it should get colored something because... Well,
So when you go, I think when you represent Frytown on the next map, I think you did phase one, and you probably need to do phase two.
I think you're right, yeah. For Friday, I'll make sure to add that.
Because Frytown was designed as a phase one, phase two, with phase two going all the way out to the highway.
Yep.
Right. So we have
longer road, though, isn't it?
No, they're already, I mean, if you notice, they're very business already.
It's like
there.
Right there, yeah.
So, the 2004 Economic Development Plan kind of identified that as an economic development area. But, yeah, I know there's something, like Rod said, like he's discussed in the plan. And I'll make sure to get that actual boundary added for Friday and we can talk about it. Oh, whoops.
And then, I'm sorry. What is that ends up red right there on Angle?
Existing highway commercial zoning, but
I don't know what's there.
It doesn't show up on the
I'm
print.
I'm not sure what's there.
It's not already.
That's
this is zoning.
It's not on our print
map. So this isn't on that map.
Yeah. So
where is that?
This. Yeah. If you.
It's just outside of Joe Town on Angle Road. Just see. Hold on.
For whatever reason, that doesn't show up on our print map.
So that's a current zoning. It's not a growth area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't have this existing zoning on that map. It was just
right.
too
well, but I'm
messy.
I'm
going
to prove it to you that that's not true because you did one up in Newport that it's existing zoning.
We might, so residential and, so you might have resident area that's like, you know, classified for future use as residential that's still zoned residential. But right. We didn't necessarily, like, so those areas where it's zoned highway commercial, we didn't, just because it's zoned, you know, we didn't put that on the map saying that the future land use should be highway commercial, because I don't really know why we would.
We just inherited the zoning, but
right.
I mean, they could if they wanted. Okay, all right. Any questions about Washington? Okay, march across to Sharon Center.
All right. So
actually, I apologize. Can we zip back to Washington real quick? I do have a question. Where's Washington Township Elementary on there? I can't see it.
It's an angle
right in the north corner of
right there.
There.
Because I heard something about that the Mid Prairie Community School District might be repurposing that building. If they were to sell it or whatever, it's zoned public. Is it zoned public?
It's zoned residential. It
zoned
looks
residential.
Like. Don't ask why.
Well, that's interesting.
So, they built a school, and
but it's quite possible that they just never rezoned it.
Uh huh.
Never applied.
Okay.
And one of the things staff might need to do just one day is take all the public property and bring it to the board and be.
So if they wanted to do something different with that building, if they wanted to sell, where it's zoned. Zoned residential, so we're not going to.
They could turn it into condos.
We don't have to allow anything without somebody going through a process.
Right. Well, first and foremost, we go back to that Frytown Village plan because it is in the boundary.
Right.
And then, yeah, because it's, okay. Or Joetown, I'm sorry, because it is zoned residential, they do have that inherent.
I had just
right?
heard that they were talking about doing something there, maybe so.
Yeah, and when we were in Joetown, that was actually the reason why it has this weird finger coming out. They specifically asked to have the elementary in the boundary.
Right. No, I recall that. Yeah. And it actually made sense to me. But
because of that, it could become a variety of things.
Right.
As because it's in the village plan.
And they didn't want to stop. We didn't want to stop anybody if somebody said, hey, I want to build right next to the school so my kid can just walk to school. We
right.
didn't want to stop that.
Okay. Anything else
Thank
in
you.
Washington? Sharon Center.
Turn right. existing zoning
yeah.
off just
yeah.
in case there's something we need to look at, unless there's something we need to look at.
Maybe. All right, so is this Sharon?
Could I ask a question real quick? Yeah. So you've got these places that don't have a lot of colors where you've got the light, really light gray that's almost white. You've got a medium gray. You've got this.
Oh, those are just the township boundaries.
Is that just the township?
Yeah,
colors?
I put that in just to denote township.
So, okay.
Because when I didn't have it and I didn't have the sections, it was really hard to tell where
okay.
anything was. And so that was just for reference.
All
it's
right.
still all ag.
I copied that off the public map that Rick had.
Yeah, the
okay.
road map that
just
Janelle
so
has.
So you can see townships. Because if you start drawing township lines, you cover a lot of your roads, too.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Muddy stuff up.
So in Sharon Township, we have the Village at Sharon Center. Part of this 540th Highway 1 economic or commercial area, and then the rest of it is ag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
So I thought they paid into a road impact that was to take it to Hazelwood.
So
I may have my roads confused because you have the. You have the grocery store, you have Stringtown, you have the Stringtown Auction Barn, you have the Scratch and Dent.
It's not
store.
To Hazelwood, it's to Gable.
It's to Gable.
And that's where
Gable's
yeah, on the south.
And that's the road there that's not labeled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where it ends, Mitch.
But it was to the next road, and that's the next road?
So
yeah.
Gable runs south
Gable.
From 540th. It's the
yeah.
edge of the red block shown
yeah.
on your map here. It's
okay.
not labeled.
All right, that's my.
So.
Okay.
I don't
well,
know.
I thought the Scratch and Dent was on the other side of Gable.
No, it's still. It's just.
Still
it
there?
Goes up to it, I think. But
is it this one right here?
Which I never can remember what it's actually called. Anyone wants to help me out?
Central Discount.
Central Discount. Thank you, Sandy. Style.
So that's that one there. And. You know, again, it's on commercials. So.
Yeah, and the road agreement goes up through there, plus whatever Greg does on the other side, which
yeah.
is...
Oh, it's literally right at the intersection.
Yeah, 100 feet or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Is there, long as you've got the zoning clicked there, is there any residential commercial zoning in that township?
Land use areas or zoning?
Zoning
and sharing center.
Leftover township. Ones that we inherited?
You know, just a few scattered about. It's hard to see them all because they're all so little.
There might, maybe an R here and there.
Yeah, you know, there's some, you know, kind of all through little, you know, small, old zoning packages, and then
Farmstead splits,
1-2 acre, you know.
So that would have been how they accomplished Farmstead split before the Farmstead split came by in 2000.
Yeah, okay. There, and that's pretty consistent throughout the entire county. Mm-hmm. There's all these little speckles of residential zoning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, questions about Sharon Center? How about Liberty?
Zoning.
Right. So, yeah, that's where Welcome Grove is.
Again,
that's Pleasant Valley.
Oh, okay. Is it
a
north?
Went too
we
far.
Kind of have hills over.
Oh, sorry, Liberty. Sorry.
Yeah, there we go.
And so, you know, Liberty, again, we have entirely ag. We don't have any other categories.
Can you talk to us just a little bit about the area around Observatory where it crosses the interstate? And if there's any consideration there, there's some already relatively dense stuff.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of housing development already kind of on this Gen Mill Road and down Observatory. You know, but there's lots of floodplain through here. It might make sense to put a little bit of development in here, but we elected not to.
We could consider it, obviously, as if somebody came to us.
We upgraded the road. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of housing already there that we inherited. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it was allowed to, I looked up infill, so I think I'm using it okay, but it's compatible with the road. Sure. But we would entertain it based on their proposal, and they would have to argue to put it on the map. We weren't already going to put it on the map. That's your
point. Right, and these areas also might fall, you know, in the ag area under our compatibility matrix. We have an M for residential. That was kind of identified specifically for areas like this where it might make sense to stick another house, you know, into an area pocket that's already.
We just had a rezoning cleanup right here.
Right, we did one right here, or we did one back here too, actually. We've done one here and up here.
And we upgraded the road down to 540th.
Right.
So that's all now chip seal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
so that would be an area where, based on the criteria we used from, you know, where that chip seal road ends back up to that floodplain line, it may make sense to make that either yellow or the light green conservation.
Click on the parcel you have your cursor on.
Right here?
No, I'm sorry.
Yellow.
Down below. I meant actually right to your right. It's got woodlands and whatnot.
Yeah. This one right here?
Yeah. And if you go next to that, preserving the woodlands, there could be an argument to do a conservation subdivision there.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess that with all the floodplain, it might make sense to add the conservation area, conservation development, or maybe the other one.
Conservation preservation, I would think.
One of the two.
Well, it could allow some houses as long as all of the sensitive stuff was preserved.
Yeah, I think that's...
It meets some of the criteria we had, too, because it's still really close to a city. You know, it's not directly adjacent like some of the other ones, but it's still less than 5 minutes from the City of Hills.
But it's not even 5 minutes. I mean,
yeah,
it's
2 minutes. Yeah, you could throw a rock to Hills.
But Hills is never going to come over and make that part of the city. They can't.
It's unlikely.
So it makes sense that we would entertain applications down that way someday. Somebody would. But you, by not coloring it, you didn't make it a given.
Right.
Right.
Does the board want it colored? Or?
I don't know the answer to that.
I just thinking it through. You know, it's like I view this as just like that area near Swisher where I just want to talk about it because it's a little bit different. I mean, I think it's a place where, again, if somebody came and they had a proposal, Okay, it makes sense to consider the proposal here. Run it through the matrix.
To me, this is almost another purple circle, but I'm not ready to say that yet.
What are the purple
spots? It's confusing enough that...
That's the 500-year floodplain right here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I guess just that's sort of one of the reasons why we created the development guidelines, the matrix, was because our current system with the North Quarter development area, it's you know, you're in or you're out. There's really no, like, thought given to these other areas that, you know, things develop or we grow, you know, like the site-specific consideration to would this be a good idea or not.
Can we do another, can you go all the way to the southern border of the county here? And Harry's Road? And kind of just that area, right?
Where are we looking?
You got to go back.
Down Oakcrest Hill.
Yeah.
Right there.
Okay. Right here.
Yeah, now you see.
Harry's Road.
There's, yeah, what, we've got the quarry there and the floodplain there, but you've also got a lot of houses, mm-hmm. both north and south. And it's another place where I think you could probably make some kind of argument potentially that a rezoning might make some sense, especially if you look into the Washington County part, you know, and see how close you are to the casino and golf course. And right. Mm-hmm. So if you go take your cursor up just a little, yeah, like right, well, down even a little. If somebody wanted to rezone in there, I mean, it might make sense.
Yeah.
So I guess the real question when looking at this is, would you want to see that request before a rezoning comes to you? Because if we colored that yellow, or even the lighter green, the conservation development, and right. someone wanted to do a rezoning to residential, we'd say, yep, it's in compliance.
I think
take it through the process, and then we'll take it.
I like leaving it out because then it's an extra step and some extra consideration.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I just feel like talking through it a little bit. Sure.
Okay. So we did Liberty. Mitch has been itching to get to Pleasant Valley Township.
Yes,
he's
I
got
have.
One of his circles in there.
Because they have a gigantic purple circle.
Yes. So Sand Road is a road we've recently seen with a rezoning application. We saw one go Crest Hill. But Sand Road is similar. It's a paved road all the way down to 520th, pretty much the hills. There's tons of floodplain, as we can see. Mm-hmm. But there might be some pockets in here that, you know, the city's not going to really come any further south than their existing treatment plant. So it might make sense for us to identify a couple pockets for some residential development. Yeah, absolutely. But as of now, we kind of left it out, wanting to kind of have a conversation and see. It was working so well. Give me a second.
I'll tell you, I'm not opposed to development on Sand Road. I'm opposed to 1,000 driveways. And that's American Legion Road, the area you called the 1,000 driveways. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They needed to be,
One entrance
and then a city, like a neighborhood street. The idea that everybody gets their own private driveway, I don't want Sand Road to become American Legion Road.
And I think right. If you look, I agree with that. I think if you look at that northern part that we've got right there, where the Mitch has right now, while the computer's thinking, and think about what Lisa was just talking about, and look at what's there with floodplain.
There's not much to develop.
Yeah, it just doesn't lend itself very well. I mean, you could stick a couple houses in that white part, but...
No,
but
no.
Why?
Why?
Yeah. But we could. I mean, and someone could put in, if you own those quarter sections, you could put in substantial development in that white part, the one that looks like a oak leaf kind of, torn in half oak leaf.
If we wanted it there.
But what I wouldn't want is 15 driveways.
Right.
But which is why you making them jump through another hoop. Mm-hmm. Allows whatever board is sitting here to have influence over it, that one road in with five houses off of it is okay, but five houses with individual driveways is not, I mean, or whatever.
I mean, I don't.
So we might have lost the pictures. I'm not sure what happened, but.
My computer.
Well, have you tried unplugging it, plugging it back in again?
It's being slow.
Hack it on the side a couple times.
Yeah.
But, you know, also if you put in houses there, you know, even though they're not technically in the floodplain, there's a chance that they may flood and we may have buyout taxpayers. I mean, crop insurance is a lot cheaper than a house buyout.
The other problem you run into, and we kind of had this in 2008, is you can create an island there in the middle.
How do you get in and out?
As you see,
so
it can go across easily.
You flood it on both ends and you're stuck.
But Sand Road in this area never closed.
It didn't, no.
Any flood we've ever had. So what's green there didn't actually get wet.
They're back.
Yeah. But what's purple there? Jeez.
Oh, all right. There we go. You know, and our subdivision regulations have some protections for access. You know, we're not allowed to create a lot that doesn't have vehicular access during a 100-year flood.
It may just kind of be a non-issue.
It may be, yeah.
If the person there wants to do it, they'll come in. But, I mean, I don't know.
Where is the awning factory in?
Dave Long.
Awning
factory.
See south.
You
got to
go south.
Mm-hmm. See that little red square there.
Oh. Okay.
And the shelter used to be there, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it seems like we kind of want to leave it ag and, you know, even though it might make sense in certain areas.
So how about down by...
It makes sense down near Dave Long's,
I was going to say, what about where Dave Long is? How about I want to do something similar to
Are
Dave?
Are you talking about one of those scenarios then?
Yeah, I mean, I'd
want to see if that thing, that parcel north of it, gets run a scenario on that.
The field across the street is now being farmed for the university, right? In that grass.
Almost Kansas.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so. Right up there, but that area across the street that's not in the flood zone, and I mean, it could be residential.
Be good for, oh, wait, for ag tourism.
Does the university own it?
Ag to no, no. Okay. That far. Well, if you click on it, I think you'll find the university doesn't own it. They're just selling their product to the university as a test.
Yeah, they're just
product.
Contracting with the owner.
Because if it was the university, it's not going to change. They're not going to give it up.
I think it's just a test plot, I'm guessing.
So this, as we move further south on Sand Road, that kind of gets into that other circle we had along Highway 22, which was. The intent of which being expressed concern about lack of residential growth in the Lone Tree School District. So you can move further south on Sand Road.
All right, so you jump down to Fremont Township.
So just still, even within the same township, the same road we're looking at, that concept kind of plays into both of these circle areas. And it, you know, maybe a larger philosophical discussion.
So but it's within their fringe.
I felt
most of it.
I felt a little differently when I looked at this because...
Sorry, I didn't mean to pull us off if we were...
Sand Road seemed kind of, to me, it's like, well, it's just floodplain just kind of needs to be ag, is the way I looked at it. This is not floodplain, but it's such productive ag ground.
It's really good ag.
Why would we want to take this out of ag production? I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense. If Lone Tree wants more houses in the school district, build them in the town.
I get that it's a really good, it's a good road, but... This is the best ag ground we have, and it's not infill of anything.
And that's why we didn't put any.
And there aren't already subdivisions there that, so you've left just 40 acres here, 80 acres there. When you do that, we know the big farmers can't even get their equipment in anymore. That makes sense to go ahead and allow that to develop, but there's nothing here.
I mean, I'm all for. You know, and if you were to get into that gray area, the thing about the gray area is that's not all built out. That's about half that's built out. Mm-hmm. Half of it.
There's lots of room.
Yeah, see, so there's lots of room there.
Do you just symbolize that hollow?
Yeah.
You know, so if they want to add residential, they got lots of ability to add residential without being in the unincorporated areas.
Well, I think what the issue is. Is that
so that black boundary is Lone Tree's current
look at all that
corporate boundary.
Develop that out and then talk to us.
I do like what you guys did with the commercial.
No, I am fine with that too,
because if for whatever reason the city says, hey, we can't do this, but we'd like to have this business here. Can you guys, you know, because we can't provide them the water, sewer, whatever. Right. It's like, I don't know why we wouldn't consider it. It'd be a good intersection.
Mm-hmm. Just because I used to relay what the city of Lone Tree, one of their council members, told us, and a representative from their school.
The school superintendent came to one of the open houses in February as well as the last CPC meeting. So we just wanted to bring it up to you guys to make sure it was on.
They feel that they need more growth in their school district to prop up the school district before people will begin to develop in.
Well, I agree with Janelle. Do it inside that black line there. Right,
talk the city about the right pink now. Place you have there. The pink place is the to the right.
Right here.
So that's a CAG.
CAG.
That's Syngenta.
Right. Syngenta. That's Syngenta. I mean, the ability to do some value-added agriculture stuff down here, like Syngenta or stuff like that, is there. Some commercial stuff, but I don't want a subdivision in the middle of nowhere that just took out all that farm ground.
Right.
Because it's not infill. If you go from the city to Syngenta, right along the edge there, and there were value-added agriculture or something or whatever, it'd be worth thinking about. But to go the other direction for residential subdivisions, that doesn't make any sense to me
when
whatsoever.
When you've got almost as much land inside the city boundaries as you have already built, the gate can more than double their size, it looks like to me, without ever leaving their city boundaries.
But they went up and annexed in order to put in the new dollar store, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that could have been in the county by your map, but they put it in the city, which is cool. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with you putting the red at that intersection. You've got two hard surface roads.
Yeah.
But to artificially make some yellow here or whatever color, no.
And I think the message needs to go back to the school folks and the city folks. We're happy to, I mean, we'd love to see Lone Tree grow. We'd be happy to help them any way we can if they've got some kind of specific thing that they think, you know, we could help with, we'll help. But I don't know why we would want the growth to be out in the middle there.
Right. And something else to consider from a population standpoint, we do still have the Village of River Junction plan to finish. Okay. So that would potentially be another area within that district boundary that could see some residential
village
as well.
River Junction, as we now know, was laid out to be, but put the floodplain map on it.
So there's some residential zoning there.
There's, you know, Village Junction, River Junction up to the 22 is really good farm ground, but within what's yellow there is 100 new houses that could go. I mean, right. I'm not saying that should happen. I'm just saying it could.
Is that in the Lone Tree School District?
It is.
Yeah.
And when we do our, I think when we do our village plan over there, it's entirely possible that we may want to create that you could build anywhere on up
to the
to
highway.
The highway.
Yeah.
Can we go? I've got a couple other little quirky places in Fremont Township I wouldn't mind looking at. All the way down at the the bridge.
Tri-County Bridge?
Tri-County Bridge.
Where are we looking there?
Go right now.
Where are we?
It's probably all flood.
It's on the Lola Lane, far west.
Where the houses actually are.
Yeah.
So the bridge is right in there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I can't tell what I'm looking at. Oh, there's the river. Okay, now I see it. All right. Yeah, there it is. You know, there's only a few houses right there, and it's our road that gets them in, but they live in Loiza County, except maybe one of those parcels. So it's kind of goofy, but we've never had a good solution for that road. I mean, it's bad. It's hard to get back there. I think some of the people live there permanently, some of the people don't, but I don't know. There's no good solution.
So on which road? The two, the number right there?
Right. That accesses all those houses. They actually live in Loisa County, but they're...
Use our road to get to it.
Up on Lola, that's what they're talking about.
Right. Yeah, that's the bad road right on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are a couple in Johnson County farther than, yeah, right in there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
that's
I don't know.
Goofy.
No solution necessarily. Okay.
What is that orange there?
That's
AR zoning.
Existing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably one 13, of those. It looks like it's a zoning package. So a farmstead split before they did farmstead splits.
490s.
That's usually where we see the zoning packages.
And then, how about the ponds area south of Lone Tree? You know that where I'm talking about? There's that, yeah, I don't know, it's maybe a 20 subdivision.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's on the hard surface road to the west.
It's just off of
that little tail there.
Where you bike? Have you ever done the Lone Tree Lap?
Uh huh.
Yeah, you've got that right subdivision there. Down there.
It's something right pond, Golden Pond, right or on Golden Pond.
On Golden Pond.
You
know,
like talk to an old farmer. Oh, you know Johnson's Corner? No. Oh, you know Mitchell Way? No.
Can you use street names? Is it in town or is
it's
it
no?
South?
It's south.
The country.
It should show up. It's.
Is this it?
There's a lot of houses there.
No, it's farther to the.
It's Golden Pond Subdivision. It's in the extreme southeast corner of Johnson County, almost on the west of Muscatine. There it is, right there.
There it is.
Where?
Gosh.
Here?
Down there in Washington County? That thing?
Yeah. That one?
This one? Is this where we're
talking? Oh, that's not what I was thinking about.
No, that's not on the loop.
That's not on the loop. But I know what you're talking about.
But this is it. Yeah, that's
the
it.
The first time I drove down there, I was like, what the heck is this? And which county am I in?
Oh.
So some of this is in ours and some is not. Is that right? Is
yeah.
It? It's like
yeah.
The five yeah. In orange are ours.
Okay.
And everything else is Loisa.
Okay. I mean, it's actually a relatively elaborate development.
Yeah.
People don't even know it's there. But
I'm sure they like it that way, too.
So this is another one of those questions, I guess, where you wonder if somebody wanted to rezone the parcel immediately north and put two more lots. You know, how do we view that
kind of thing?
They've got, two hard surface roads.
Swampsy. It's paved.
Yeah, that would be the question for the board. I think Josh mentioned one of our general principles was trying to keep stuff relatively close to cities. To
right.
Reduce those
yeah, this
really
is,
long.
Yeah. This is way out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
But on a one or two lot situation where there's already 25 houses there, granted not all of them in our county, it might make sense.
I might think about if they wanted to do a farmstead split right above it, north of it, but just deciding to go ahead and expand that little development, I don't think that's.
Yeah,
well,
not color it, but it
yeah,
would be one of those
right.
That would be considered because of its neighbors.
Yeah, for one house, but not for 30.
Okay, that was just a couple places I just wanted to at least sort of
anything else
through.
In Fremont?
So real quick, while we're here, since we're talking about Syngenta, this might be a good time to point out that within the ag area, we have an M for the CAG zoning district. It would allow, if someone wants to locate another Syngenta outside of an economic development area, it would allow them to show us that the road's good enough, you're near, the people you serve and things like that, and would allow a zoning similar to this out in these areas without us first pointing it out on the map as a commercial or industrial area. So,
because one time I was told by somebody, county would never allow a Syngenta again. Never going to allow it. And I'm looking at your agriculture, and agriculture, residential, agriculture, business would be maybes.
Mm-hmm.
So a Syngenta or a grain elevator, it'd be an ag business. It would be, it's a maybe here. It depends on where it is and what.
When we rezoned this, we talked about the fact that this actually was reducing a lot of vehicle miles for a lot of farmers.
Right, because they could get to it right.
Yeah.
It's right there.
I wasn't here when you rezoned it, but someone told me the new Board of Supervisors would never do that. I'm like, why would you think that? I mean,
right. it serves that.
What do you want them to do? Drive 20 miles into town for it? I mean,
that's
all
the
your
egg. I think the general intent is businesses that serve the agricultural community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so Fremont finished. You skip Lincoln because there's so many colors
did
there.
Did we skip Lincoln?
Lincoln is straight north of Fremont.
Yeah. Anyone have questions about Lincoln? They have no colors in it whatsoever.
Lincoln had no colors.
Did she enjoy the play?
Did our Kelowna News friend get the information he was interested in? All right. Good. He really didn't want to come back Friday. He likes you, but... All right, where do you want to go now? You want to
can we look at this area real quick? So Highway 6 in Taft... Sorry, Josh. Was originally identified as an economic development area in 2004. We have not included it today. We just thought it was worth briefly mentioning while we're in this portion of the county.
I'm sorry, so you're in Scott.
We're in
Scott. Highway 6 takes the bend, starts going straight east.
Yeah, I guess we weren't in Lincoln anymore.
You're in Scott?
Yep. Yeah.
This
is for the 2004 plan. This was one of the economic development areas that was, or the economic development plan. This was one of the areas that was identified.
Is that where the...
There's a trailer park there.
There's the
Sun and Fun.
Sun and Fun is?
Yes.
I heard
yes.
they were going to move and go to Tiffin, but they...
They moved to Tiffin.
About there. I went for them last summer.
But they haven't moved.
They're in the process. They have a big sign that says moving sale.
So that's been on previous as...
Right, as
economic development
area.
And you're planning on keeping it?
We have not put anything there as of this version of the map. The orange is the old area. The red, obviously, is highway commercial zoning that's existing. There's a trucking company that operates out of this property, Rittenmeyer Trucking, through a conditional use permit. And then there's a tree service that operates out through a conditional use permit.
I'll give you an example
property.
Of why this... Rittenmeyer was allowed a conditional use permit and pays in for the dust alleviation.
Right.
But his argument is that other businesses have been allowed to exist there that don't pay in to the dust alleviation. And I think that is a fair argument. And so just something as we're looking at these
well, I also
kind of rural businesses that make sense to be in the rural.
I mean, to be honest, too, one of the things I'd like to know about with this is what Iowa City thinks about it. Because I know Iowa City would probably like to have us go back and revisit Herbert Hoover Highway if we, you know, were so inclined. And so before we create another situation like that, I guess I'd kind of like to know what Iowa City envisions.
Iowa City isn't there. So when talking about Rittenmeyer, they actually put a 10-year sunset, so he has to renew his application every 10 years. So I think eventually they intend to come out that direction. I'm not sure it's going to happen in the next 10 or 20 years, but I don't think they want to see a whole lot of commercial development that isn't going to be in accordance with any of their traditional development.
Well, that's why, I mean, if they... You know, if they weigh in and say, look, you got that existing stuff, I get it, but we'd really not rather have anything else here, that's good enough for me, I guess. I don't want to.
But that is contiguous with their, across the highway, their build-out industrial park, right?
It's not quite contiguous.
Not quite.
So not quite. Yeah, it's not.
They're right here.
Probably 2 miles northwest.
Well, they were going to develop. Okay, never mind.
So if I remember right from doing the staff report on the landscape business last summer, that's like right at the edge of the 2 mile area for Iowa City. Maybe they go a little bit beyond that.
Okay.
And it's out in that kind of county rural planning area portion. So they submit comment, but they haven't had a lot of strong opposition to those two uses out there. You know, if they see Taft as a growth area and they try to get more industrial development coming down Highway 6, they may feel differently about that in the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then also, once Sun and Fun is out of there, the only real growth development in there is the Breckenridge Mobile Home Court, which has dozens of residences right in that highway commercial zoned area, so it may not be truly appropriate for expanded intense commercial use either, given that there's a residential pocket right there. Those were some of the things that played into our decision to leave this out as a commercial area.
All right. Questions about that? We're in Scott Township. You got other things in Scott Township.
All right. So now we're at the, like you guys mentioned, the 1,000 driveways. Our you know, our general thought process was about 2 years ago, maybe. If you guys remember, we rezoned this property because it was entirely within other existing residential development. So we thought it might make sense because we're still fairly close to Iowa City to try to fill in some of these. We've got a couple stubbed off roads here that we could have some connectivity through American Legion over to 400th
Street up there.
Mm-hmm.
Is rock.
400th is chip seal up to that where that subdivision hits on the north side. They have an agreement to maintain chip seal.
So it's chip seal up to where?
So just outside the edge of the pink circle where that red line hits the 400th and then back to the west to American Legion.
Okay, so that's so all chip seal.
So the square above it shouldn't be in this yellow.
So, but you made stuff that's on the rock in the yellow.
Right, so the concept there was American Legion to 400th to Wapsie kind of represents a nice ring road. So if someone wanted to develop, it would be limited by the road performance standards unless they were going to have some sort of improvement agreement that they would improve to chip seal or have some sort of road considerations.
I guess my issue is once we color it yellow, then they could skip through the... They could not develop out the two parcels into pink and move over to the one in the yellow. So move your cursor right there.
Right here.
Those parcels and the two above it that are contiguous to now the chip seal.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got development on two sides of them. Someone could come over and take your square on the right. Keep going to the right.
The third one on the top right. I don't think that should be in the yellow.
Because now you're on a rock road, and it's not, it's like outside of, I'm not saying a board in the future wouldn't consider it, but I'd want them to develop their way out there as opposed to skip those in ones and put a big subdivision back out there.
I think the same applies to the one directly below it and the one to the right of that.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they chip seal.
The one directly below it may make sense, but
maybe.
But the one to the right doesn't make any sense.
Diagonally,
that one
and diagonally
the other
down
one
to the right.
To the right.
A corner. There.
Yeah. Right here. Wow.
Those don't make any sense to me.
Those shouldn't be there.
They're also, that's right. This is also really high CSR land for what it's worth.
Which is why I don't want it.
I think this area is really tough because, you know, land of 1,000 driveways, and we laugh about it, but it's also done, you know. So I'm torn sometimes in some of these areas to say, well, it didn't fit with the original plan of, you know, 1994 or whatever, but people did it anyway, so... do we act like it's not there, or do we acknowledge that it's there?
See, I want to acknowledge that it's there. I just don't want to make the square that big.
Right.
Right.
Because if so, they can skip those two. Because,
like, I could envision somebody, if they could get the right-of-way, which might be a trick, to drive a road off of American Legion either to the north or south of one of those and say, I'm going to build 10 more houses back here. It'd be hard for me to say no, given what's already there, I think. Although I would also say if I could go back 30 years, there wouldn't be any of these here.
Well, there's more houses there than in some of the villages we have. Yeah. So why don't we force this into being a village and have them give them force them to do a village plan.
And
call it whatever they want. Golden Pond, if they want to. You know.
But there's no pond.
I can make an argument for the lower weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the top... To the right, I don't even know why they would be in here.
I agree. I'd like to see those removed.
Line there, at least. I want the next one down from the top corner, too.
I just can't remember. That's only a single house there.
Right here?
It's not a... No, below. Now go to the right.
Might be two.
Go to the right.
you have multiple houses there. If they could drive a driveway up to that one that looks like Johnson County, kind of. I kind of can get that, but I don't get the one above it or the one above that.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, I'd like to see your new black line.
So right that, there, yeah. One consideration, that parcel there does butt up to a stubbed out road from that existing.
Right, I get why you put that box in. I totally get that one. That's
not
what
to say
I
they couldn't come back and make that future land use map request at some point in the future as well.
I'm fine if you take out those three boxes, but I can make a argument for the diagonal one, but somebody can ask to have it put in the map and we could agree.
So do we put that other box out then?
Do you want to come here?
No, I would keep that because of the stubbed out road.
I guess, but.
So we got two keep its.
I think
keep it.
Go ahead and keep it. Go ahead and keep
yeah.
it.
Okay.
So we'll
those other three are out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take this, suck it into this block line right here.
Yeah. For now.
And then the one south over here by the green.
Yeah, I was wondering what was in there.
What's going on there?
It looks like a fairly tree-filled lot.
Right here.
Yeah, that's just a one lot.
One house.
One house.
Jeez.
So why did you put in that that to the right there? To the right, go right.
This one?
Yeah, why put in that one?
Just a chance for connectivity.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's just
and we could
someone
easily
built their McMansion. That's not connectivity to me.
Yeah, we could easily just cut this right here and just take it like this.
Sure, let's take it up.
And just have it north and then this portion right here south of the drives.
It's
or
just
even
such
cut this
good
portion
farm
out.
Ground that I don't.
We could.
I don't know.
Even that little corner up above the McMansion doesn't really need to be there.
We could either go to here and then go along south.
Where's the
edge
school?
Of here, or we come down to here.
Where's
so
the school?
Where's the new
right here?
It's way over there.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, and I asked Nate this when he showed me this map. To me, between the land of 1,000 driveways and the new school.
Well, don't we want that to develop at city?
But I don't.
Yeah,
I
want the city to come out that way.
They've indicated they're not going east of Taft, right?
Let's see.
For right now, I think that they don't think they'll go too far east of Taft.
So their immediate growth area is this kind of pink. The green is outside of their growth
just
area.
Just a couple of pieces of property there. That, right. From my perspective, if you want the land of 1,000 driveways to be able to get to that school with sidewalks or a trail or whatever, we should entertain making it connected to the city limits. But and maybe it's one of those things you wait till you have an application.
I wouldn't object to a trail, but I don't see any reason to encourage any more residential. It's good farmland.
We'll zoom in because I'm not clear that.
Do you got any floodplain there?
Yeah,
go on.
No.
Up and left.
There's a stream there.
Where is floodplain? Sorry, my map's getting really messy.
So
there's a stream right here.
Up and left. Yeah.
But I don't mean deep. I mean literally a couple of little parcels that are right along there. There's already two or three houses.
I guess obviously that's an area where you would probably consider a rezoning if it's in between there and they come in and they say, hey, we just want to build more.
Is that the
walk to the new school?
But I think you want to prevent.
Just put in a trail.
That's how you get the multitude of driveways, a house here, a house there.
Well, that's it, exactly. I don't want more.
Yeah, but I think you'd have to. I mean, to me, you'd have to. It'd be a single access or an existing.
Single access to multiple lines.
Yeah.
Well, even when we did this one a couple years ago, the county engineer made them remove an access. So there was originally two on here, and it went down to one to accommodate the subdivision. So there are some better standards in place now.
I have no problem not coloring it. I just think if an application came in from there, I would want to consider it because it. Development happens around school districts. You want kids to be able to walk to school. I mean, so why allow development clear out here and then forbid it right next to the school?
So maybe this way, as you make your decision. So if you were to color this, you're in essence saying that if someone wanted to rezone one lot, that you feel that land use would be appropriate.
No.
Whereas if you leave it uncolored, someone comes to you with a 5-lot subdivision that meets all our criteria, and it's the best subdivision ever, you'd be like, you know what, I think we can change the map and make
it. So by leaving it uncovered, colored, you create more power to control the subdivision that you would entertain could go there.
Right.
Okay. I'm cool with that argument.
Okay.
So where the black lines are, suck it into there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Everyone all right so far?
Yep.
You're obviously you're not voting. You'll get plenty of chance to weigh in more.
Okay. So next, I think we're up here to Hubert Hoover, which we just briefly discussed just a second I have. So red, again, is commercial. Blue is industrial. So we chose this area. Hubert Hoover is a paved road. And again, similar to where we were up on 965, it's tucked in between the interstate and a paved road without many residential uses.
You've got the auction barn and the truck transfer company.
Right.
Okay.
And then here's the Dolphin Drive commercial condos.
So my question to Nate was, new bridge is going to happen, new on-ramps and off-ramps. The county owns a shed there. That I do not believe is going to be the highest and best purposes for that land. And you don't have the county's land colored.
Right.
I do not believe when the new bridge and the new on and ramp that the highest and best use for that is a county shed.
Because aren't they going to do it where it's not such a weird angle with the intersection? Yeah. They're going to be allowed
perpendicular? So it could be a pretty good tax-paying commercial.
That's one of those major changes that definitely warrants a review of the map and potentially a review of the whole area, because you may have a whole new batch of ground that right now has zero road frontage. It's going to be fronted on a pavement. Right.
At a time when we see what they're actually going to physically do.
Yeah,
so that can be one where
there's red boxes above it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing commercial there now.
Correct.
So if you just color in the click on the county's own property there, will you?
I actually don't know which
where
one
the
it
shed is.
Where the shed is. It's in right there.
Right there.
Right there. Click that. See if the county is not the owner of that. No. We're the owner of the sliver below.
Sliver below.
Right there.
Right here. That's actually in the right of way. There's not a parcel there.
Oh, we don't have a parcel?
It's just in the right of way.
Greg gave himself
the county. The county right of way.
Well, never mind. Yeah.
Withdraw
my objection.
Yeah. Right, and you know the boundaries on there, where we brought the commercial further to the east to try to keep some of that. If you do have on-flow traffic, we don't want it dumping onto Utah or dumping on closer to the interchange and the bridge. And then also you do have a little bit of residential there just going north on Utah, so try to have a little bit of buffer coming to the east.
Yeah.
But again, with the redesign, this whole intersection, if the configuration changes, it may warrant looking at this whole area, not just.
I think that warrants having a lot less red there because we don't know what that intersection is going to be.
Right.
So where's that on the top right red box, and maybe the top bottom left one too?
Well,
I don't know because
like you went.
And then we can come back and revisit it when we know the plan.
That one to the south is based on the existing economic development area and also existing zoning. There is a zoning on there.
There's
a substantial amount of highway and commercial zoning.
I like what you did with the blue.
So we thought
we
kind of keep that in there.
Industrial spots, and that's a pretty good one.
Those areas are generally, I mean, they've been using some sort of industrial activity, rock crushing, auction.
I can see that. And I can see the now with that zoning listed on there, why the red box on the bottom left makes sense, but the one at the top right.
And part of the reason we haven't seen development south of Hubert Hoover is it's tough to get that road access to. Mm-hmm. You have to have access to a paved surface. So if you're off in that field to the south, it's going to be tough to get secondary access.
So we don't
shift
this
to
no
perpendicular. We're going to go right into that shed. So
it's just right
for whatever reason, it shows up as right away, but it also is showing up as zoned commercial. So I don't know if we need to.
So we could allow something there.
We may need to get a surveyed.
We got
to
know what it is.
It'd be really tough to control your stormwater on that
new
parcel.
The bridge is going to plow right over it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Can you go a little north on
Utah? They're going to pay a lot of money for it.
Further.
That's up Utah?
If they're plowing over it, it's going to cost a pretty penny.
Right down toward the bottom there where there's so many lots.
Right, that's what exactly what I was saying. The price of another bridge.
Maybe?
We'll sell that land to you.
That's one to take a little look at that.
8 to 10.
8 to 10. All right. Here's one too.
And again, the thought being Utah is a gravel surface road. You know, you don't want full scale residential.
No, right. I don't know why this ever happened anyway, but.
Well, on 340, we got that.
Somebody knew a guy.
Some of those, I think these zonings might be cleanups looking at the number.
Yeah, they're all in the 13.
It's, you know, they rezoned into R3 because they had multiple zoning packages and someone wanted to build something, so.
Knowing that that whole intersection is a.
You're doing so good.
You've got too many boxes open.
I guess so.
That's the computer that stays here?
No, that's
this is our laptop.
Oh, that's yours, because ours never gets upgraded.
It's been very fast today.
Are you, now are you going to go eat like East Lucas? Are you
going to
moving back west?
If he's gonna go.
Well, we can talk about East Lucas without the maps because there's nothing in there with the exception of the conservation preservation over top of the existing S&G quarry site. Part of that because of their restoration agreements they have to have, in part because, and I think Mitch knows more about this than I do, it may be very hard, if not illegal, to redevelop an old quarry site for some sort of residential or other use.
With most of their
I'm assuming that's the future most beautiful park of Johnson County.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my assumption.
Right. And so as soon as they're done mining, our thought was, we don't want houses, we don't want mining, we just want it to stay as it is. They're going to put all this money in to restore it, and most of it's going to be covered with a conservation easement. And so we're going to identify it that way in our land use map.
And this area also stretches north to capture a lot of the county buyout properties that were off Isaac Walton Rogan Road and Camino del Rio and some of those that came out of 2008. So again, the thought, if you get a flood that the county has to buy out half the properties, maybe that's not a great area for residential development.
Agreed.
So we wouldn't support a rezoning to something more intense.
Absolutely not. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've signed 2 disaster declarations for that area, and Rod's at 2. No more.
We're done.
All right. East Lucas, nothing. West Lucas.
Okay, so, this is a fairly major change. You can see immediately there's tons of zoned land. Almost all of this was zoned in 1960 when we created zoning.
Just the shade that's indicating
the shaded
The shaded yellow in back is the zoning. The hatched yellow is the land use category that we've drawn.
Okay, thank you.
So this was during the blanket zoning times?
Yes.
So you can see this has been zoned residential for 57 years, and there's been very limited development.
Right.
Well, because the same families have owned significant chunks.
And limited road access. Right. The gravel roads are, given our current performance standards, at or above capacity because they take into account zoned ground.
And that's predating, I think, all 3 of you. People cut through there because that's how you get from where they are to Menards easiest. But they're cutting through on a rock road that has went over capacity. I mean, we've talked about upgrading it for reasons that's just, it's just a cut through.
If it's a future growth area, that might be more reason to consider upgrading it.
So this line, actually, this northern line is actually the agreement with Iowa City in the fringe area agreement that kind of denotes their future land growth area. I think it was 2006.
So their growth area is to the
2008.
Up from there, not down.
Right. So
immediate growth area.
Took this part out because we know that they plan on some point growing this way, and we don't want to interfere.
And that's across the street from Weber Elementary, so they already have that existing north of the town. And I think that line was established because that's the area that can be served by the same wastewater sewage gravitational lines coming down the west side of town.
And then we've got Sharon Center's actually Chip Seal Road. We've got some existing commercial development right here, which is like, this is Yangtze's, Yvette Street. And so we've done some middle tier industrial commercial area right here, and then some commercial area along Sharon Center Road to kind of buffer as you get into the residential area.
The rocker zoning, because that area that's zoned, that's all going to be, that's
okay.
Great.
I was just going to say, and the part below is when you had zoning on, those were existing highway commercial that just happened to already be there?
Right.
So that purple is light industrial? What is it?
It's like a middle tier commercial industrial land use category. So
some we new would, category?
If we redo the ordinance, we want to do away with that ML catch all, which can be everything from, you know, gas station to rock crushing. So have just better define what our industrial districts are. So have, you know, commercial and then the intense commercial, like those very, you know, even lower intensity.
This is not what I think when you drive, you know, you drive down Highway 1 and you look at this and you'd say this is not a victory for zoning. You know, I mean, it's pretty scattershot and pretty messy and pretty ugly.
Exactly.
Doesn't fit in with anything else.
But why did you go red so far?
I think we just went to the road. Formerly Osage Street, which is, this is just right away. There's actually no road there. So we kind of use that as the south line for...
And thinking into the future, if you do get development coming down from the highway towards that south end, you may have a developer with interest in reestablishing a roadbed for Osage Street through that right-of-way at their expense or a shared expense if they're really pushing to get a second access.
Why not cut it off up at the bottom of the purple section there and leave that for a map amendment later?
At that quarter there.
Right there.
Yeah. No, there's a black line. I was just...
Right here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
You do that.
Is that a road?
That's what I'm wondering. Why not cut it off there? It's just a property line, right?
We were just thinking the roadbed, if, for instance, someone were developed there, they'd take a...
They can amend the map at that time.
For Osage and connect it.
I'm not clear that I want those two bottom ones in, but show us the one that's already zoned.
Because I think the bigger...
Can you put that on? No, the red.
The one you already zoned.
Actually, stay right there for a second.
That's why.
That's why.
And the part that you have...
now you know.
I'm agreeing with what they're saying, but I don't want all that on Sharon Center Road, because they're not going to come from Osage. They're going to come
from the highway,
right off of Sharon Center Road and want to do something. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to encourage that right there.
Take out the... let me propose this, and maybe I'm wrong. Keep the weird-shaped one, because it's right along Sharon Center Road, but take out the one next to it.
The partial.
Take out the full 40.
This one?
Yeah. Because unless that's owned by the same person, they don't have access to Sharon Center Road.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you have a contiguous... You have contiguous commercial... But you're not adding a parcel in that's not already contiguous. I don't know. I mean, It just seems like too much red to me.
Seems like the odds are pretty good it is owned by the same person, though.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But that's one where if someone wanted to develop back there, to develop 40 acres with a single access point right at that northwest corner, they're going to be looking at secondary access onto Osage, which doesn't exist anyway. So
I'm arguing I don't have a strong opinion, but I would rather it's not on the map, and then we have to entertain much more arguments about it to put it on the map, because at that point it would matter what they were doing.
Right.
I mean, you know.
They need to talk about Osage as well if they're going to need a secondary access down there.
So, because they don't have good access to Sharon Center Road, I don't even know why they're in this.
Do we want to take off?
It is all one owner.
The triangle made sense because you're tying...
Because of what's already zoned.
Because of what's zoned below it. But that, to me, doesn't make as much sense.
Okay, so if we cut it right there...
That makes a lot more sense to me.
What about keep the residential, though, on the Meyer Ave side?
Is that,
or do you think we should cut that? It's Meyer Ave comes down all the way to Osage, and this is kind of where Osage maintenance ends right here.
Yeah, it's all paved, so
it's gravel right now.
Oh, it's gravel.
So one of the considerations on this corner, if you could highlight where they built the school, mint, or where they some individuals have received a conditional use permit to establish Prairie Green School on that property there.
So is that the one that's in Cosgrove now?
Yes.
Okay, so
that's where
completely,
she's going
to
put that?
Mm-hmm. They're completely moving, or they're going to have two?
My understanding is they're going to build a new building and move to this site.
Okay.
And the thought is, because, kind of like Janelle mentioned before, people tend to build up around schools. With that in the area, you may see more development interest along Meyer.
I don't see that.
Some people,
I mean, it's not a conventional public school, but it's, I mean, just the...
They're going to have to do some paving roads if they're going to do stuff in here, so...
Right.
So the question is, the yellow hashtag that's still brown underneath it, do you want that to be yellow, or do you want it to be nothing for now and entertain argument on another day?
I think nothing for now if the road's not paved.
Yeah. So, but if the road was ever upgraded, I think it's...
Then they can amend the map.
...develop on both sides, because you're using that same infrastructure.
If the road was upgraded, you'd update that map, you'd right?
Amend the map.
Good, yeah.
You could, but is it...
I mean, this, you know, as it is, it's a pretty big residential growth area that... with our current standards, really can't be used, can't be developed. And so cutting it down might make sense if this road is ever developed. But we kind of picked it. It's kind of nice, clean, but it also allows, you know, both sides.
I don't have strong feelings.
Yeah, we stayed north of Osage because we wanted to kind of stick to the, mostly to the existing zoning and allow, allow connectivity.
Look at it in the future. If that area were to develop residentially on the west or on the east side, would we feel it's not appropriate to develop residentially on the immediate west side? So I think what we're trying to do in the whole grand scheme of things, we had that commercial area is sort of would serve as a buffer between the industrial that goes to commercial and that residential. So that's kind of our thinking. And we'd like
to keep it yellow. And I'm not falling on my sword about taking out the one red block, but it doesn't make any sense to me.
That's fine.
Are we consensus on this?
Yeah, I like seeing that go out, and I like seeing the striped yellow.
And I mean, I think it's
trapezoid go out.
You know, again, somebody might be able to come in here and convince me otherwise, and that's okay. I mean, that's why we can do. We got the power to rezone.
Those are already houses there, right?
Yeah. Here's a housing subdivision.
And that's why you went ahead and did the trapezoid.
Oh, okay.
The way there's houses like, right there. Could we possibly see a connection?
There's a house that's going to get built here.
Meadow and then, you know.
That's why they did it. I'm fine to keep
and it. And given that there's so much existing zoning in that area, those three parcels on the southwest corner are really the only spot
and
someone would need to
like
come
a
talk to us.
And they'll start
with the development
I'm
anyway.
I'm fine with them staying in there.
Yeah, okay.
Keep them in and take out the one red block. Is that what we want to do?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Are we good with everything north of Highway 1?
Our maps.
Again, we're right up to the future growth.
That's Iowa City.
Immediate growth area.
Yeah, immediate growth area for Iowa City. All right.
I guess so. Let's see.
Okay. And this area, more so than a lot of others, because it's already zoned residential, someone could come in. If they could meet subdivision requirements, they'd be able to do so without rezoning because they already have that zoning in place. So.
Union Township, lots of colors there.
So
that was a joke.
Green.
Uh-huh. So again, lots of big areas of public land. Village of Cosgrove, Village of Wyndham, Village Plain.
Now you're into Hardin.
Yeah, you're in Hardin if you're at Cosgrove.
Oh, am I over too far? I don't know.
There's not much out there.
There's nothing.
Sorry, I was kind of looking at the
I'm just teasing you and confused.
Well, technically some of what we just did is over in the Union.
Yeah.
What's it look like though? Okay, where's what if you take IWV out, how much stuff do we have in there that's zoned?
It's the reverse county level.
Maybe it's less than I thought.
Up on your zoning there.
Yeah, so here is landfill.
There's just that little bit north of IWV is the only thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's three lots there on...
Three lots that were never built here. Yeah, there's no road there.
Okay, I thought maybe we had a little bit more along the road, but we don't apparently.
Yeah.
And this is one of those areas we went back and forth on. I really wanted to include those yellow parcels since they're already zoned, but given that that's the city's immediate growth area, chances are some development in there, the city's going to want to see it hooked in and annexed to city.
They're supposed to drive the road through there,
and 965 is supposed to come down that area as well. Yeah. So that was kind of where we decided to leave that out, even though it's kind of
okay
an area that we'll see growth more than likely.
Thanks. I just wanted to go through that on the way over.
Yeah,
in general to good flat ag land. So,
I was joking with Lisa that the Cosgrove Village plan is the county logo flipped over.
Pretty close.
It is.
Or the state of Utah,
shape, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
State of Utah.
State of Utah.
Right, so you have Wyndham down below there.
Wyndham is here. Which
did you do anything new with Wyndham?
We have not done anything, but
knowing they have a village plan coming, that's sort of the other, like, River Junction. There will be a boundary eventually that will delineate location and uses. So it'll get an orange block similar to the other villages on here.
So Wyndham will get a village plan as soon as the guys have time to do anything else. And Cosgrove already has a village plan.
Yep.
Correct.
And despite the county's recommendation to them that they make it go up to IWV, the folks chose not to. We wanted to do a small string.
New road up there, and they don't. Okay.
We wanted to do a small string that would stay in a village plan up to the corner because you have, zoom in on that. You have zoning parcel there.
That's commercial zone.
Yeah.
The
red. We wanted them.
Central.
And I, it was right as I was becoming a supervisor, and staff was kind of recommending a small sliver go up. It would be part of the village, and nobody basically wanted it whatsoever. So it got dropped.
Isn't that where the beer distributor was there?
There's been lots of stuff.
Lots of businesses there.
The old style distributor was there for a long time.
And then you end up with some purple then south of Oxford.
Evans.
That's a nice transition up
to
Oxford.
Yeah, we can come up here. So this is the Oxford interchange with I-80. You know, again, this was identified in 2004. This general area was identified in 2004 as an economic development area. And so we have identified it as the medium industrial commercial area, not industrial, but not commercial. So kind of partway in between.
In the compatibility matrix, that includes commercial, highway commercial, and then a maybe for light and heavy industrial. So the appropriate uses could be rezoned within that area.
So you took what was already there and what's already zoned, that soft pink, that's already zoned?
Yeah, this is commercial, this one's highway, these ones are highway commercial.
And you just squared all this off?
And we just squared it off. You know, I think it used to go further this way, but there's no road access to any of this, so we opted to just, boom, pull it 40s on all sides of the roads, all sides of Blackhawk.
As far as rural economic development area, I've always thought this interchange was one of our best options.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that people want access to the interstate and there's some industries, some whatever.
I've always thought it was a little odd that Oxford didn't want to annex all the way down to the interstate. But.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Now, here's a question. With that being both the commercial and the industrial, would the in looking at an application for industrial, let's say you had some commercial stuff there first, would P&Z part of, you know, the commission, would they look at what commercial was there before?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's so not just like anything goes.
Well, the campground's already there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the campground's there in the pink, so
yeah.
So
you'd have to consider that.
Yeah, that'd be, again, another one where you use these development elements, and one of the things is negative impacts. Okay. So if you've got some already, you know, you already have a campground there, so we don't want a really noxious industrial use, but maybe if we had an industrial use that wasn't so intense or, you know, didn't...
Like the warehouses on the other side there.
Sure.
Okay, and then the other question I have is, you know, we have on this color coding, we've got the intensity and low intensity industrial, which is this purple,
mm-hmm.
and then we've got a blue, which is industrial. We have very little of that. So do we have anything that's called heavy industrial or no?
That would be just the blue is our industrial.
So it's any industrial.
Any industrial use goes...
So, like, if somebody wanted fireworks,
those would be the areas where
right.
this map has identified and said those are where we want to locate those.
Okay, because I thought that we had said high industrial. I didn't see it on
here. Yeah. Heavy industrial is a zoning district appropriate in that.
They're starting to use new language we haven't passed.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we're talking about the land use categories, which are kind of the same as, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Similar names, but not quite the same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Right, so they've created less than was on the economic development map in the past.
Right. Yeah. So we cut these two out
okay. Because they didn't have good road access. And they made it contiguous to the good road. Is everybody comfortable with those colors for now?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
All right, okay. So I'm about to lose everyone in 5 minutes.
Or now.
And we're down to 1, 2, 3, 4 more townships to go. And we're coming back on Friday.
1, 2, 3... Five, right?
Okay, five. I skipped one.
Yeah. One tier.
Oh, because Madison and Clear Creek.
One, two, three, four.
No, do we want to look at these?
Were we done with Oxford Township then, or completely?
We're done with Hardin Township. Yeah, we stopped at I-80.
So we got to do Oxford, Madison, Clear Creek, Penn, Newport, Clear Graham, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we got six left.
Kind of through that.
It's because those little ones are just kind of stacked on top of each other.
The I-80 corridor.
Not just an ordinary grid.
All right. So do we want to call it quits for the day and come back?
Yes.
Yes, please.
All right. Kurt's already moving around here. We come back on Friday at
9
a.m. to noon. That's what I have down, 9 to noon. Everybody prepared for that? Yep. Is there any materials you will need before Friday?
Leave our hope on Friday is to finish the map and then also get into some specifics of the development guidelines.
All right, so spend more time reading the development guidelines. Sound good? Anything else?
Any other information you want me to add to the map? I'm going to add Tier 2 of Frytown, but is there anything else you guys wish I had today?
I'll be doing a lot more of those show me the existing zoning overlays in our next meeting, but okay. Yeah.
All right, so we went through Nick's steps already. It looks like I'm down to other. Anything other? Discussion from the public. Okay, everybody is withholding judgment till Friday. Is there anything other from the board? No discussion from the public. Final offer?
Okay.
All right, we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.